Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 4:03, we welcome you in to a Wednesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on 1600 AM KGYM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, online at KGYMradio.com. Strong show for you today. Brandon Justice is going to be with us here in about 15, 20 minutes. We will preview Michigan and Vanderbilt, a do-or-die Game 3. Winner takes it all in Omaha tonight as the College World Series comes to a conclusion. This is officially it for the 2018-2019 NCAA calendar, right? All of the other championships, track and field, everything's in the books. So this is it. And then we can officially turn our attention to next year. The NCAA, by the way, is going to be a topic of conversation here shortly. Also on the program with us tonight in the 5 o'clock hour, Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 WMVP in Chicago. You'll hear him discussing a brutal loss last night by the Chicago Cubs to the Atlanta Braves. Score wasn't out of hand, but if you watch that game, it was tough to swallow. 6 o'clock showdown on tap in the third and final hour tonight. One lucky listener is going to have an opportunity to two lucky listeners will have the opportunity, but only one will take home four club vouchers for the Cedar Rapids Colonels. So you get to pick the game or games that you would like to go to this year. That's our prize tonight inside the showdown. All that and more tomorrow. We're going to be on the road at Mulligan's. We'll tell you a little bit more about that coming up on the program later on as well. But the era of the athlete-friendly NCAA didn't even make it a calendar year.
Did it make it a week?
Well,
a few months. I'll give them a few months.
There was a glimmer of hope that the NCAA was coming around to looking out for the best interest of its student athletes.
No.
And today, definitively a hard left-hand turn back into the direction of, I don't want to necessarily say tone deaf or I don't think they understand what they're doing. Well, it's part of the problem.
We have this discussion all the time as far as, let's just say, commissioners and professional sports, and I think some of them get made fun of for just sort of being the face of the owners, just doing everything in the best interest of what the owners want. But at this end of the day, that's a business, and professional sports are different from college sports. So you understand what the commissioners, Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman, you understand what those guys are trying to do, because those are the guys that come under fire all the time. The NCAA, how often do they preach, we are about the student athlete? With this, everything that we do is to benefit the student athlete. That's a bunch of crap based on what we just saw today. Now they've gone back, they've gone forth. We know that there's never really a rhyme or reason for anything that they do. But make no mistake about it, the NCAA is about lining the pockets of their institutions and lining the pockets of the high-profile coaches that represent those institutions, plain and simple.
For those of you unaware of what we're talking about right now, the NCAA today is expected to approve new guidelines making it more difficult for transfers to obtain waivers. This has been a hot topic of conversation for the last year or so. We've seen and mocked the introduction of the transfer portal, which is, I think, a positive development here. It sort of brings this out into the open a little bit as far as players going out into the free agency market, so to speak. But the NCAA seemed to be heading in the direction of allowing transfers to play. They were going to be a little more lenient on making players sit out a year. It used to be it was automatic. You transferred, you sat out a year. And recently, we saw some softening around the edges. There's still some ambiguity because there were some instances where players, oh yeah, automatically eligible to play. Other opportunities or other instances, that wasn't the case. We still don't know, at least to my knowledge, the status of Oliver Martin's transfer waiver from Michigan to Iowa, whether or not he would be eligible immediately next season or not. But in this new guideline that the NCAA is handing down, you basically have to bend over backwards to be eligible. And I think it was Stuart Mandel who wrote at The Athletic today a really good piece entitled "The NCAA Should Just Let Transfers Play." And the gist of the article was he didn't used to feel that way because he felt if you let the kids play, then you're sort of headed down the road of total chaos, that there needs to be some sort of law and order here. Otherwise, kids are just going to be all over the place, leave school, go to the next school, chaos. And now he's sort of endorsing that because this new system that's expected to be adopted by the NCAA, part of this involves needing to get a letter from your previous school's athletic director stating that basically explaining why you were run off or saying that you were run off. There's not an athletic director in the country that's going to write that letter, right? Because it would involve making your football coach look bad.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It should be the coach. And this is the first argument that I have when you look at certain cases as to why somebody would transfer. A new coach comes in, and I can't tell you how many times at every single program when a new coach comes in, a coach will look at a player and say, "Hey, you don't fit my system. You need to transfer. Or it would be better suited for you to go look elsewhere." That happens all the time. For a player to then have to sit out a year while they transfer is ridiculous. This is there's such a common sense element to this that the NCAA, it goes clean over their head. There are situations where you can make it easier for players to transfer while also keeping total free agency out of your game. But they can't figure this out. They can't figure out which direction that they want to head. Do they want to be stricter? Do they want to be more lenient? And then they see things like what happened in California, lawmakers in the Senate voting 31-4 to allow athletes to profit off their own likeness, and they feel threatened by that, so they go back to the old way. They see all of this sort of being, all of this power sort of being yanked away from them, and they try to pull it back towards them. I think they absolutely feel threatened right now. The NCAA is in a terrible spot. They see all of these threats to the way things are, the status quo of the way things are, and this is their way of trying to take back some of that leverage.
Should the NCAA just let the kids play? 319-366-1600. That number is also the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. So you've got, in essence here, requiring an athlete to get a statement from the previous school's athletic director indicating whether the student could return to the team. That's one aspect of this. And then in another case, if you transfer citing the health or illness of a family member, you must provide contemporaneous medical documentation from the treating physician showing how the family member is debilitated and an explanation of the student athlete's role in providing care.
So I mean, it's not just Edward Rooney from Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
It's not just enough that grandma is sick or grandpa is sick. The NCAA wants to know, are you cleaning out the bedpan? Because if you're not, they're not going to be inclined to grant your waiver. This, again, comes on the heels of this tiny window in which they seem to be trending toward allowing players to transfer and play immediately without sitting. Of course, again, the decisions there were completely arbitrary as well. But there's not an athletic director in the country that's going to offer up that letter, in my opinion. Were you free? Were you able to return to the team or not? Oh, no. My coach told this player that his scholarship was pulled.
How is this also coming, let's see, a year and about 3 months after the NCAA put together a working group, which included Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta, to decide to possibly loosen the NCAA transfer rules? Do you remember this from last March, where there was the discussion as to whether a player or an athlete in good standing, grade point average wise, could transfer and be eligible right away? There were some other ideas floated out there. What happened to that? That idea just went poof and nothing came of it. And then here we are in June of 2019, when in March of 2018, they were talking about loosening it. And now we're going back to making it more strict. I don't know. I just don't. I look at the NCAA as the balloon that just lets the air go out of it, and it's just flying all over the place, and there's no rhyme or reason for what they're doing or where they're going. They just sort of react and hope for the best, and I don't think anybody could have predicted that we would be heading back towards. It seemed like all the momentum was heading towards loosening things up and allowing more rights for the athlete, and now the NCAA is pushing back. I could have predicted they were going to try. I don't know how successful they're going to be with this.
Well, Mike in Marengo has an excellent question here. Is it that they just can't figure it out, or that they don't want to figure out how to make this a just system?
Well, they don't want to. That's true, but at the same time, they, based on what we've seen from them, they don't know which direction they want to go. Sometimes they're in a good mood, and they talk about loosening up restrictions on transfers, and then apparently on June 26th of 2019, they're in a bad mood. So they take away those. I don't know. I try to get inside their head and figure out why they're doing something. There's no reason for it. There's nothing that adds up.
I think we can all agree that the NCAA has been largely inconsistent on enforcing its current rules as is. We've seen guys like Tate Martell get an automatic waiver, and that is a young man who transferred. Everybody knows he transferred because of playing time.
Right.
And that shouldn't be the case. You shouldn't be allowed to transfer just because you want more playing time. And then we've seen the NCAA come down on kids that want to be closer to home because they've got a sick or dying relative, and they say, no, you've got to sit out a year in that instance. You don't get the automatic year of eligibility. They've been inconsistent here from the get-go. But this now, as you mentioned, is the pendulum is swinging back in the other direction of they're trying to take this power back, not necessarily hoarding it, but the NCAA likes to fashion itself a powerful organization, and they have all of these young men and women under their thumb, and you can't do anything unless they say it's okay. And here now, after there was a glimmer of hope that we were entering this more player-friendly version of the NCAA. No, here comes the crackdown. The NCAA reminding everybody today that this is an organization that simply seems out of touch with reality and out of touch with what I think the majority of people would probably expect from it. I don't have a problem. And again, Stuart Mandel's piece at The Athletic is really good. I'm not a huge fan of allowing kids to just pick up and leave and go to another school for no reason at all other than they want to play more. But if that's what it's going to take to blow this thing up and make it consistent across the board, then do it. Sign me up as an agent of chaos. You want to leave? Pick up and leave. Go ahead. Fine. Do it. No repercussions. You'll play immediately.
I've always been in the camp of one free mulligan, one free transfer. Then after that, you have to sit out. I don't want to see guys going from one school to another school to another school and playing at three different schools during the course of their career. Of course I don't. But there's something to be said about keeping some of the sanctity of college sports intact. But at the same time, it's hard not to see the hypocrisy in all of this when you have coaches leaving and pulling scholarships and making millions and millions and millions of dollars going elsewhere and facing no repercussions whatsoever. They're never going to be able to get rid of the hypocrisy and all of that. And that's why I'm all for more rights for the players. I'm always going to err on that side because I've seen behind the curtain that of what it looks like. And I know people have this idea that athletes are so well taken care of and the scholarship and the education is all worth it. And okay, those guys work 100 times harder than regular students. I can tell you that right off top. So what they're getting is not adding up to what they are bringing. And hopefully we can find a way to bridge that gap and to take care of some of these guys a little bit better, because right now, the current situation, it's not working.
The Stuart Mandel piece at The Athletic is really good because it takes you inside the reasoning for having players sit out in the first place. They cite acclimating to their new school, their new environment, that it's for the best interest of the players to not have to worry about playing for a year after they transfer so that they can focus on adjusting to a new city and a new school and new teammates. They have all of the distractions that all of their teammates have except for playing in games on Saturdays. That rings a little hollow with me.
Why do they think that they need to baby these guys? And I don't understand that line of thinking. That makes no sense. You're not their parents. Okay, these are grown men and women, grown adults for the most part. Acclimating, okay, well then why don't you just make every single freshman have to redshirt, right? Well, he's acclimating to a new school and a new situation in college. There's no way he could play his freshman year.
Many years ago, freshmen were not eligible to play.
That is true, and they changed that rule because it was stupid.
Should the kids be allowed to play? 319-366-1600. Is the NCAA too draconian here? Or do you have to have these rules in place in order to keep some sort of order, or else you will descend into chaos? 319-366-1600. Again, we're going to change our focus to the College World Series with Brandon Justice in a few minutes. Covers the Michigan Wolverines. It's do or die for both Michigan and Vanderbilt tonight in Omaha. Game 3, the deciding game of the College World Series. We ask you today at KGYMradio.com, who wins this year's College World Series? Will it be the Wolverines or the Commodores? Poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them located on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Beautiful day here in eastern Iowa, a little warm and sticky, but we were out and about for Lunchbox Heroes at the Kingston Quarters condo complex that's going up not too far away from the station here on 2nd Avenue on the southwest side, fed about 45 to 50 construction workers today. We do this every Wednesday all throughout the summer here. We trade off with the gym class and with Scott Unash being on vacation this week and with me tending to family matters last week, we swapped weeks. So this was our week, and it was another great opportunity to say thank you to all of the construction workers out there who work so hard to make the corridor such a great place to live and work. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors. Built by Pros is the presenting sponsor. You can get the full rundown and information on the next Lunchbox Hero stop with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes in the coming weeks by visiting our website, KGYMradio.com. We'll step aside ever so briefly when we return. Our producer, Kyle Mann's going to bring you your first big board update of the day. Former Hawkeye Tania Davis has landed a spot on an ACC coaching staff, and it's an ACC team that's going to be going up against the Hawkeyes later this season. He'll tell you about that and more, plus Brandon Justice on Michigan and Vanderbilt. All that and Kevin Durant making a surprising decision today with regard to that $31.5 million player option for next season. All to come before 5 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We will be back after this.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's Iowa State Cyclone Night at the Colonels this Friday. The first 1,000 fans receive a free Iowa State rally towel and bid on Iowa State game-worn jerseys. Wear your Cardinal and Gold proudly, Iowa State fans. This Friday at the Colonels. Purchase tickets now at colonels.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment. Now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by Fecon, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's only 26 days till the big ride across the state. And you'll have even more fun riding with the right gear for a safe, comfortable ride. Get your bike tuned up and all the accessories you need right now at Hall Bicycle. 419 2nd Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
Wonderful pitching matchup coming up for Game 2 Wednesday night between the Twins and the Rays. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Charlie Morton leads the American League in ERA. He throws for Tampa Bay. The guy number 3 on that list, Jake Odorizzi. Two guys, ERAs in the 2 should be great on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:28, welcome back in a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. A reminder, you can join me and Alex tomorrow at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We'll be back at Mulligan's doing the show from 4 until 7. You can stop on in and enjoy great happy hour specials from 3 until 6. And tomorrow night from 6 until close, half price wings, 1060 Old Marion Road in Cedar Rapids. Mulligan's, the site of the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, coming up tomorrow, your next opportunity to join us out and about. Our third member of our happy traveling crew, Kyle Mann, our producer, has joined us in the studio today after an excellent South Park character reference drop on the gym class as he filled in for Scott Unash for the final time this week alongside Mark Dukes. If you missed that program today, Phil Miller in the Minneapolis Star Tribune and Chris Liss of rotowire.com were guests of Mark and Kyle. You can check out the podcast. It's available now at kgymradio.com. Kyle's got a big board update for you. Big board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Right now, you can still check them out at their temporary Iowa City location, 2802 Independence Road, soon to be moving to a new permanent location. Here's Kyle.
For what feels like the first time this spring slash summer, there's really not a lot going on in our neck of the woods, but there is some stuff going on that will affect our local schools. The NCAA announced some updated language in its guidelines pertaining to transfer eligibility. In short, where players like Shea Patterson used to be required to show, quote, documented mitigating circumstances, that has now been amended to documented extenuating extraordinary circumstances. These guidelines were approved today already, so it's possible that that could affect Oliver Martin's eligibility in the upcoming season. Former Hawkeye women's basketball player Tania Davis was named a graduate manager at Clemson this afternoon. What's interesting about that is that she'll have an opportunity to see her former teammates when Clemson and Iowa meet for the first time ever this December. The Michigan baseball team has a chance to win an NCAA title tonight in a deciding Game 3 against Vanderbilt. And in any other sport, that wouldn't be news here in Iowa, but the Wolverines are fighting for the good of the Big Ten tonight. Not only the Big Ten, but the NCAA hasn't seen a truly northern champion since Ohio State in 1966. First pitch is set for 6 o'clock, and you can watch on ESPN. The Colonels came back to win Game 2 against the Timber Rattlers last night, 4-3, although former Kirkwood Eagle Corey Howell homered in that game. Game 3 here in town is set for tonight at 6:30. Tonight after the show, we'll have the Twins hosting the Rays on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Good opportunity for folks to get out to the ballpark and see the Colonels as their home through the 4th of July, including Friday, which will be your next opportunity to enjoy a Z102.9 Mug Club night at the ballpark. You get your first draft beer in that reusable plastic mug for regular price, and then you pay the refill price all game long. You bring the mug back on other Friday games throughout the season, and you pay the refill price immediately. Colonels tickets available by visiting colonels.com or the Colonels box office. And speaking of Colonels tickets, we've got a chance for you to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Colonels game of your choosing coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight inside the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. If you can do better than your opponent, you will be off to see the Colonels in action. The playoff qualified Cedar Rapids Colonels. 7 years as a Twins affiliate, 7 playoff appearances. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. On the subject of baseball, it is winner-take-all tonight in Omaha between Vanderbilt and Michigan. How did we get here? Let's ask that question of our next guest, Brandon Justice, who covers the Wolverines. Brandon, Kumar Rocker is really, 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 really good. We found that out last night, didn't we?
We absolutely did. I mean, all the rumors were true. Being up in Michigan, you don't see a whole lot of SEC baseball on the television unless you're looking for it, or college baseball for any case in that matter. And what I've heard and what we had all heard was certainly true based on that kid's performance last night.
Is it pretty apparent that Michigan was trying to save one of their top starters for tonight, knowing that Kumar Rocker was going last night?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, as far as pitching goes, Michigan was playing a little bit of chess here, accepting well, more or less trying not to force a game two victory, trying not to force a sweep by saving not one, but two of their best pitchers, two of their top guys in ERA and two of their top three guys in strikeouts, and Jeff Criswell and Carl Kauffman, who's going to get the start. Both guys are stellar pitchers, both guys future MLBers. And Criswell was a guy that a lot of guys were sitting at the edge of their seat waiting to come out for that first game. But of course, Michigan was able to blow it open behind, Jimmy Kerr and Joe Donovan were able to blow it open and save this arm for game three. Two guys that are, they're going to get strikeouts, Criswell especially. Carl Kauffman brings a slider that's going to be a strikeout pitch that a lot of MLB scouts say could right away go into the major leagues and be a strikeout pitch for him. So two guys that are made for this moment, two guys that you can rely on for Michigan. But of course, Vanderbilt's going to bring their guy on the other side as well, who's probably right there with them, if not better.
How did we arrive at the point where we're talking about Michigan going into a do or die game three of the College World Series against Vanderbilt? This is a team that I had to fight and scrap and claw its way to get into the regionals and has just caught fire at the right time.
This team is I guess you could call it Cinderella. They're an hour away from their season being over about a month ago, maybe a little bit less here, give or take. But now they find themselves, as you said, in game three, they scratch and claw against UCLA. They scratch and claw against Creighton. You know, all of these teams that stood in their way, to go from Creighton's stadium to go to California and have to beat UCLA and then have to come to here and face the Blue Bloods like Florida State, Texas Tech. And of course, you know, it wouldn't be a College World Series champion if you don't have to beat a Vanderbilt-like team. And if anything, they have definitely earned it. It's a team that's hungry. It's a team that's high energy. It's a team that relies on each other and plays very much so as a team. Don't get me wrong, there is a lot of talent on this team. There are no J.J. Bledays, but there's plenty of talent, as we saw with Jordan Brewer's throw in Game 1. He's a third-round draft pick. Tommy Henry is probably going to make a team really happy that they took him as late as they were able to. And I think we're going to see what Carl Kauffman and Jeff Criswell are made up to, guys that are probably going to be in the MLB as well. But I think the story of it all, offensively, this Michigan team is just figuring it out, and they are red hot in all cylinders, except for last night against Kumar Rocker, as you mentioned. Jimmy Kerr, who has just been out of this world. I said a couple of days ago that it almost looks like he has men's softball stats in the College World Series right now. He's just in the biggest spots, putting the ball out of the stadium. Two home runs against Texas Tech, a good Texas Tech team that Michigan slammed the gas down and did not let up on. It's a team that is relentless in to the truest sense. They have a tremendous coach, Eric Bakich, who has, and I'm sure you've heard about these waistbands they have around them and these tags on there. And he'll call out plays, and those plays aren't always plays. Sometimes you look down and says smile. Sometimes you look down and says have fun. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're having fun. They're going all out. They have nothing. They've had nothing to lose since the beginning of the NCAA tournament, and they've reached the final stages, and they still have nothing to lose. And they're probably going to play like that once again.
Now, the loss last night was their first one during the course of the College World Series. But has that loose nature helped them in do-or-die games? Because they faced one against Creighton in the Corvallis Regional and then on the road against the number one team in the country, UCLA, in the Super Regional, and they won both.
Yeah, I think you bring up a great point with Corvallis. I tell you what, I thought Corvallis was going to be the stop sign for this team. I think a lot of people thought that, but they continue to prove it wrong. That play loose attitude that everyone's out of the dugout, fives are as high as they can be. They're smiling when they're down. They're smiling when they're up. They're trusting each other. They're trusting the process, and they're trusting their coach. And that's the number one thing you can do in this ball game is, in this game in general, in this sport, is to not only trust your teammates, but trust your coach. And I think they've just hit on all cylinders aside from that loss last night. And right now and since this past month, it's just been one thing after the other. The momentum just carries. I think the number one thing you can say about this team is that they have no fear. I don't think that they haven't been scared of the Blue Bloods. They haven't been scared of the pitchers going, opposite of them. Their pitchers have been tremendous. And as we mentioned before, their offense has been, in spots as well, especially in the College World Series so far, aside from last night. So it's a team that they're quick on the bases. They like to be aggressive. They don't like to be patient with getting the game going, and they've had the first lead the majority of the time in this College World Series. They've scored in the first inning a lot of times in the postseason. So I think for Michigan, it's really important for them to carry that same attitude. And I know that with Eric running this team, that's probably what's going to happen. There's really no reason to change it just because you guys saw a guy that's probably going to be an ace here in the future somewhere in MLB.
Brandon Justice with us from the Wolverine Lounge, previewing a do-or-die Game 3 of the College World Series tonight in Omaha between Michigan and Vanderbilt. What would a win tonight by Michigan mean, not just for the Wolverines, not just for the Big Ten, but Northern baseball in general?
I'll tell you what, coming from a guy, you know, I cover Michigan, cover all sports, but I've played baseball my entire life. I coach baseball now at a high level, varsity and set, and I coach a travel team as well. So you're talking to a guy who's not only covering Michigan, but he's covering the sport that he lived and breathed on. Baseball was never something that we considered when making our preseason plans at the Wolverine Lounge the past 2.5 years we've been around. It's never been something that we've really factored in as something that needs to be prioritized. Of course, we do cover it. We do watch and we do pay attention. We do keep our fans updated. However, it has never been a priority for us. Just given the traffic that it brings. And right now it's the number one thing in demand for all Michigan fans. And on top of that, coming from a guy, again, with baseball in the blood, the North has always been counted out. You know, you go down to those tournaments in Georgia growing up, you go down to those tournaments in Tennessee growing up, it's watch out for the guys we're about to play, look out for the Southern guys we're about to play. They do this year-round. Okay, so in Michigan and in Indiana and Illinois and Wisconsin and New York, all these northern states that do have a lot of live and die and breathe baseball cities, you spend months on months in winter facilities. You're spending months on months in turf facilities trying to make a football field into a baseball field the best way that you can indoors. You're spending time in March trying to get baseball games at the varsity level when about 10 out of 12 of them are going to be canceled. You know, you're spending all kinds of time canceling games, rescheduling games. You know, you grit and you grind more than ever before in this state to play baseball and to be good at baseball. You spend a lot of time in indoor batting cages. You do not spend a lot of time in the dirt or on the field as opposed to in the South. You know, and that's not the South's fault, but it's okay for us to be a little bit bitter about it and to anger that, you know, to aim that aggression towards on the field. So it's always been a personal thing for Northern schools to go down to the College World Series because, you know, we are at a disadvantage up here. We do not have the weather that abides. So it is a little personal, and I think Michigan's used that attitude out west and down south, and so far it's worked.
We're just 10 years removed from Ohio State getting absolutely embarrassed in the Super Regional by Florida State. I think it was 37-6. And I think the narrative built from it was before then, but it had built that the Northern schools, the Big Ten, didn't value baseball. And then all of a sudden you see these schools starting to put more resources into the sport, but still there are the naysayers out there that say, well, it really hasn't produced any championships. You saw the College World Series run from Indiana, but nothing more than that. Then Michigan comes this year. They've made this run. Do you think that this team understands the magnitude of what this would mean for all the Northern schools?
I think absolutely. I think they're playing not only for the, you know, Tommy Henry said after his another tremendous start for Tommy Henry, said after the game one that, you know, they're playing for the eight letters in the front of the chest. You know, they're playing for the eight letters on their chest, and that's Michigan, right? But at the same time, they're playing for a whole region, and I think they're very aware of that. I think Coach Backich is very aware of that. I think he speaks for all the guys who came before him at Michigan and couldn't get there, and all the guys in the Big Ten that continue to put all their time and invest their time into the sport and are unable to make it, for all the assistants that go unpaid and volunteer their time to try and make it and unfortunately can't make it. You know, I think they're playing for all of those guys. And I think all of those guys are rallying for them. You know, I can speak for a lot of baseball minds up in the state right now that are pushing for this team that normally wouldn't. I saw a Michigan State fan sitting next to a parent at one of our games recently, and he was streaming the game of Michigan and Texas Tech, that elimination game for Texas Tech. And he's sitting there rooting them on and cheering them on, and that's extremely rare, extremely, extremely rare for Michigan State fans, especially in today's times where it is a very close rivalry in all sports. So, you know, that's the type of energy you're seeing for this team from the North, and I think Michigan knows that. I think they're rallying behind it. I think they're using it as momentum, but I think more importantly, they're playing with a loose mind. They're playing with high energy, and it's being applied and concentrated on. And, you know, like Jordan Brewer said after that game one, he knew when that fellow was rounding the base to go to third that he was a green runner and that he was going to run. So he came up throwing, and that's where that laser came from. That's preparation. That's something that you don't see a lot out of, you know, in certain schools. And that's the Midwest. I mean, that's the style of ball we play. It's over scouting and overdoing because, you know, you don't spend a lot of time, you know, being able to actually go out there and play the game in and of itself. And unfortunately to say, we spend a lot of time indoors. And I think they're very aware of that. And I think that they're applying a lot of energy towards it right now. And it's working out.
I think back to several years ago when Indiana was in the College World Series. 2 years later, Tracy Smith leaves for Arizona State. This is going to put Eric Backich on a lot of people's radars. Can Michigan keep him there?
I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to bring it up in the last question. But, yeah, you know, obviously we've all heard about the Stanford news and how they're probably going to make a push at him. And I was having this discussion recently with someone, and, you know, Michigan is the number one public institution in the country, you know, the number one public university in the country. With that comes a lot of money. You know, with the football team and 110,000 fans comes a lot of revenue. Same with the basketball team with recent success, you know, a lot of revenue. And the merch sales are out of this world. You know, everywhere you go, you see it. And Michigan's got a lot of money that they're going to push towards certain things. Baseball hasn't always been that, but with this run, if they win or lose, if Coach Backus were to go, and it's because of salary, and Michigan didn't apply enough to a new offer or to a reconstruct his contract, there's going to be a lot of people upset. There's going to be a lot of pushback, and you know, like most universities, Michigan doesn't need that. They have a great coach, but letting him leave won't do anything. Okay, so you know, keeping back that salary, not going to save a whole lot of money. They're going to need to push a lot of money to us, but not a lot of money to them in the grand scheme of things. They might have to put a couple more million in his contract, but I think at this point they have something that they've never had. I mean, back, you can go back maybe to the 60s, 50s, whatever, and they might have had it, but something that they haven't had in a very long time, you know, since the Barry Larkin days, really, is a good baseball team, a consistent program in the Big Ten, and now, out of nowhere, but nonetheless, now a national contender in the North and in the Big Ten and at Michigan, something that they have not had. So then to let that walk away would blow my mind over some money, and I think would surprise a lot of people, and they would get a lot of pushback from the fans around here. So, you know, but that very well could happen. It is a business at the end of the day. And if he were to go, you know, and it was for salary or it was for fit, you know, whichever it might be, you know, it's well-deserved for him. However, I don't think it happens just because, you know, Coach Backich has a family here. You know, there's a lot of recruiting, a lot of really talented recruits coming in this next class, most notably the player of the year in Michigan, something that he's hasn't always had the best success in landing. So I think Coach Backich sticks around. I think Michigan will reconstruct that contract, will increase his salary, and I think it's well-deserved.
Now, I know you've alluded to it a couple of times, but is there any way to describe what the fan support has been like from that fan base for this run?
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I mean, Michigan in the summer is beautiful weather, but there's not a lot of sports. The Detroit Tigers are very bad at baseball. They will be for a long time, and there's not a lot of interest there. They do not fill seats. So the Wolverines have become this state's baseball team. So when I said, you know, saying that to Michigan State, you know, and you know, the fans there cheering on Michigan, it's because there isn't a whole lot of baseball to cheer on here, right? There isn't. The minor league teams, there's no minor league teams in Michigan that's, you know, become very prominent. There is Casey Mize out in Western Michigan, who's the number one Tigers prospect. But outside of that, you know, this has become Michigan's baseball team, the state, not just the university and its fans, but the state's baseball team on this run. And they're an easy team to root for. And I think most people that like baseball can agree with that. They're having fun, and that's the number one thing you like to see out there.
Brendan, before we let you go, what are you expecting tonight? What type of game are we in for?
Yeah, I came up with three keys to the game, and first and foremost, I think Michigan will be aggressive, and they will test the arm of the catcher behind the plate for Vanderbilt, as they have all series, and it's been successful. They're a fast team. Unfortunately, they're without Jordan Nwogu, who was an integral part of the lineup at the leadoff with 12 home runs and a few stolen bases as well, I think around like 16. So replacing him with Akeo Thomas at the leadoff spot, who's a very experienced player, more so ready for the moment, will be interesting. If he can, and he's a guy who sprays the ball, if he can get on and those first three guys can get on, they will be aggressive, they will steal bases, they will challenge them. On top of that, Joe Donovan, catcher behind the plate, nice home run in game one, but he has been a little shaky behind the plate with pass balls. It has let up a few runs here and there. There have been some wild pitches as well. So him and his pitcher, Carl Kaufman, and what's probably going to be Criswell after him, they're going to have to be on the same page. He's going to have to make sure to be, I know this is cliche, but he's got to be a brick wall. And lastly, Michigan has its two best arms in this game, aside from Tommy Henry. You know, you have Carl Kaufman and Jeff Criswell, two guys who, you know, were they better than Tommy Henry in the regular season? You could say that. You know, two guys that are going to overpower, you know, Criswell's going to overpower, Kaufman's going to rely on his slider. But you got a guy on Vanderbilt starting who leads his team in ERA and has, you know, quite a bit of wins. It's a team that's very powerful with J.J. Bleday, you know, and all kinds of MLB talent. It's extremely deep on that team. I think Michigan has rose to the occasion in every moment of the season, of this postseason. But unfortunately, I think it runs out tonight. That's just a hunch on my part. I love these stories. It's very cool to see it so close to home now. But unfortunately, you know, Vanderbilt is loaded. I think this pitcher is having a day. The loss of Nwogu hurts. It doesn't detriment, but it does hurt. So I'm going to have to go with Vanderbilt in this one. I know that I'll hear about it after this, but that's my pick. I think it will be a close game. I'm thinking like a 0-0 into the sixth or seventh type game, you know, and two incredible staff going at it. So we'll see what we get out of it. But my pick is Vanderbilt, probably like a 4-2 final.
Brandon Justice, owner of the Wolverine Lounge, we appreciate it. Give him a follow on Twitter at Brandon B. Justice. Good luck tonight, Brandon. We're all pulling for Michigan.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on. You guys have a great day and enjoy the game.
And that is our poll question today, KGYMradio.com. Which team wins the deciding Game 3 tonight and, in essence, this year's College World Series? Will it be Vanderbilt or the Wolverines? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them located on First Avenue Southeast, right behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot.
I'm going to have to pick Vanderbilt too, but there's something in the back of my mind that tells me that everyone picking Vanderbilt gives Michigan the advantage. This does seem like one of these teams of destiny that you put back, you put them against the wall, you put them against the ropes, and they find a way to get out of it. So I'm excited for that game tonight, and I'm not going to write off Michigan. Of course, I'm going to pick Vanderbilt, but should be fun.
And then we officially turn our attention to the 2019 college football season, because this will close the books on the 2018-2019 school year. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, take a look at some of those Las Vegas over-under win totals for Iowa State, Iowa, and other prominent schools, plus a chat with Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as the Cubs continue their series with the Atlanta Braves tonight. 6 o'clock showdown on the way in hour number 3, and a whole lot more. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, online at kgymradio.com. Back after this.
Test your skills in the Red, White, and Blue Best Shot. This four-person Best Shot will be held at Amana Colonies Golf Club on Thursday, July 4th. Tee times are available throughout the day. 18 holes of championship golf, cart, practice balls, course contest, prizes, and lunch for just $49 plus tax. The event is flighted, and payouts are based on the size of the fields. Winners receive ACGC gift cards. Get your team together and call the golf shop to sign up at 319-622-6222.
The John Deere Classic is more than golf. It's a week filled with friends, food, fun, a youth clinic, and an amazing charity concert with Dustin Lynch. It's the event that's delivered over $100 million to local charities since 1971. And yes, there's great golf, too. Pretty. Sweet.
Oh, I like that.
Stuff.
Yes.
Magic does happen here. Get tickets at johndeereclassic.com or call 309-762-GOLF. Hurry, they're going fast.
The Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger is one of McDonald's most popular burgers in Spain. To try one, you'd have to reprogram your GPS,
recalculate it,
go to the airport, leave your car, buy a plane ticket, land in Madrid, and go to McDonald's.
Bienvenido a McDonald's.
Or you could hang that next left and get to your neighborhood McDonald's now. Because for a limited time, the juicy Grand McExtreme Bacon Burger and other worldwide favorites are here. Around the world is now around the corner at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Academy Award winner Kevin Costner stars in Paramount Network's Yellowstone.
All the angels are gone, son. There's only devils left.
Season 2 of Cable's number one new drama, new episode tonight at 10.
The walls are closing in on all sides. We're fighting to survive.
Loyalty, morality, not part of the equation.
We're about to find out how big a role you play in this family, son. You understand what I'm asking?
Oh, my God.
Yellowstone Season 2, new episode tonight at 10, 9 central on the new Paramount Network.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered with 4 levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. It's sort of like having ninjas protect your engine. That helps keep your engine running like new. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Takeru Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut, two record-setting champions.
And they are underway. It's eat all you can in 12 minutes.
We were pushing each other to limits that neither one of us thought we were going to go to.
We had a great rivalry. There's nothing like it.
What if I told you there was even more beef behind the scenes?
I didn't expect the rivalry to end the way it did.
The Good, the Bad, the Hungry, next Tuesday at 8 p.m. on ESPN.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The Home Depot is making it easy to turn your favorite moment into the perfect color for any room with the Project Color app. Upload any image, then discover the colors and paint to match. Now you're a swipe and a click closer to everything you need for your next project. Explore the most popular colors and trending palettes to find your perfect paint. Get a colorful new experience with the Project Color app, then shop our best brands with gallons starting from just $25.97 at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Hi, my name's Christina Stumble, and I own Farm Girl Flowers in San Francisco. With my Spark Cash Card from Capital One, I earn unlimited 2% cash back on all my business purchases. Last year, I redeemed $115,000 in cash back. Yeah, $115,000. And that doubled our digital marketing budget for the summer. Thanks to my Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
Looking to build a deck? Think Trex is out of your price range? Well, now you should take a second look at the number one name in outdoor living. Because the latest deck from Trex is engineered for the DIYer and priced to put the pressure on treated lumber. Plus, it comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. And that's something wood can't promise. Find Trex on shelves at the Home Depot and bring home the number one name in outdoor living.
Wonderful pitching matchup coming up for Game 2 Wednesday night between the Twins and the Rays. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Charlie Morton leads the American League in ERA. He throws for Tampa Bay. The guy number 3 on that list, Jake Odorizzi. Two guys, ERAs in the 2s should be great. On your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
4:56, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 1600 AM, also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. Did you know that if you have a smart speaker like an Amazon Dot or an Echo, that you can listen to KGYM and this program? It's pretty simple. Details on how you can enable those skills are online at KGYMradio.com. We're going to be chatting with Jesse Rogers of ESPN Chicago in hour number 2. Craig Kimbrell will come up in that conversation. And according to our good friend Tommy Burch at the Des Moines Register, the 7-time All-Star no longer with the Iowa Cubs, and now being reported by a number of Chicago beat writers that Kimbrell is expected to be joining the big league club tomorrow. A roster announcement will be coming soon. So bullpen help is finally on the way. It wasn't the bullpen that, well, it was sort of the bullpen that let them down last night, but bases loaded. Adbert Alzolay in the batter's box and base running blunders galore as the Cubs squandered a huge opportunity against the Braves. We'll see whether they can bounce back tonight. Dallas Keuchel and Yu Darvish, the pitching matchup there. White Sox, big winners today over the Red Sox. For those of you who are interested in wagering information, the White Sox have been plus 300 underdogs twice this year, meaning if you wagered $100 and they won, you'd win 300. That's a pretty good payout if you're not into gambling. They're 2-0 in games where they've been that heavy of an underdog. Coming from behind, Jose Abreu having a huge game for the White Sox as they win at Fenway 8-7. Same score in the Yankees and Blue Jays. The Yankees extending their Major League Baseball record of homering in consecutive games. I think it's at 27 now. Does that sound about right? Didi Gregorius went deep in the second inning today. And Twins fans, Cleveland won again. Indians a 5-3 victor over the Kansas City Royals. That AL Central, you knew it wasn't going to be easy. We'll have the Twins for you tonight. As you heard Corey Provis there, that series with Tampa Bay continuing on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We are out and about tomorrow. A reminder that you can join us. The KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com returns to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, 1060 Old Marion Road. Be there tomorrow. You can enjoy happy hour from 3 until 6. Win some great prizes with us and then enjoy half-price wings from 6 until close. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire. Hour number 2 is next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
And Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter, breaking news out of the Bronx. For the second time this season, Giancarlo Stanton is headed to the injured list for the New York Yankees. This time he's headed with a PCL strain. He suffered the injury last night. It's a right knee contusion. Underwent an MRI. They're calling it a PCL strain from last night. He got hurt at third base after he collided with Toronto pitcher Clayton Richard. Bottom line for Stanton, he has only played 9 games this year. Today, looks at the calendar, is June 26th. He came off the IL 8 days ago, and he's now back on it. First time in his career he's gone on the injured list twice in the same season. NBA news, Rockets dangling Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker to other teams with salary cap space so they can try to get a first-round pick in return, which they would use that first-round pick to package to Philly to try to sign Jimmy Butler in a sign-and-trade deal. That's according to Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe. Wojnarowski also reports today Kevin Durant has informed the Warriors he's declining his $31.5 million player option, but not ruling out a return to Golden State. Nets, Knicks, and Clippers on the table, too.
Coming up Thursday, who will be the first domino to fall once NBA free agency begins? And how crazy is it to think that everyone might just stay put? Plus, we'll have a double dose of the Matchmaker game Thursday on Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update was brought to you by The Grill Works in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters, making you the grill master you deserve to be. Here's the grilling tip of the week.
Did you know that all charcoal is not the same? Lump charcoal is 100% flash-fired wood, no fillers or binders. It lights faster, burns longer, and it produces less ash. Also, if you can seal your grill to prevent oxygen flow, it can be relighted. I'm Lisa with The Grill Works. We carry 5 different brands of lump charcoal, and 1 bag lasts longer than 4 bags of traditional briquettes. Come see me at The Grill Works, and I can tell you more. The Grill Works, 763 8th Avenue in Marion, your grilling and smoking headquarters.
My name is Jason Vessel. We're on Muskogeeman Realty. We're here today just talking about the latest and newest Steve Emerson at Aspect Architecture project. Super excited about the project. We're just coming to a close on construction, so we should be finished up by the end of August. Our models just opened this week, so we'll start to have open houses on Sundays. We're extremely pleased with all the work that Graham Construction's done. They've just been fantastic to work with. Great combination between a great architect and a great builder. Phalen's has done a nice job with the interiors. We've got four different options for design. We're going to have a lot of different choices for folks. If they want to get involved early, they should give us a call. We're still early enough in the process that you could do some of your own selections. So we're excited about that. Join us on Sundays for open houses. And any questions, give me a call. Again, this is Jason Vestweber with Skogman Realty. You can reach me anytime at 521-1234.
Well, we knew the good weather couldn't last for Lunchbox Heroes. The heat and humidity finally caught up to us as the calendars officially turned to summer. And our first Lunchbox Hero stop of the summer was a warm one today as the KGYM crew visited the Kingston Quarters condos on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, providing lunch for about 45 to 50 hungry construction workers. Lunchbox Heroes is our way to say thank you to all of the folks in the construction industry who helped make the corridor such a great place to live and work. We couldn't do any of it without our presenting sponsor, Built by Pros, and a litany of other sponsors, Cedar Rapids Bank and Trust, providing those famous cookies as well as their bottled water. Our snacks, sponsored by United Rentals. Of course, on a hot and humid day, you need something to drink. Our beverages provided today by Star Equipment. Atlanta Coca-Cola Bottling Company, UFG Insurance, Imon Communications, Chick-fil-A Lindale Mall, always great to see Mark out at Lunchbox Heroes, Red Wing Shoes, Acme Tools, Air Gas, and of course, the good folks right here at KGYM. Where will Scott Unash and Mark Dukes be next week? Check out KGYMradio.com for details. 5:04, we welcome you back in. It is the second of 3 hours, the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you daily, Monday through Friday here on KGYM, 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago, WMVP, set to join us coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes. The Cubs looking to get back into the win column after giving one away last night in a poor effort to the Atlanta Braves. We'll chat with Jesse about a myriad of topics. Also on tap tonight in the 6 o'clock hour, it'll be the 6 o'clock showdown, your chance to win four tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels to the game of your choosing in the second half of the Midwest League season. 7 questions, 60 seconds. The 6 o'clock showdown. Colonels, by the way, at home tonight, taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Class A affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. First pitch set for about an hour and a half from now, 6:35 tonight. Former Kirkwood shortstop Corey Howell, now an outfielder with the Timber Rattlers, had a solo home run in the ninth inning last night, but it wasn't enough as the Colonels hung on for a victory. And work on trying to get Corey on the program. I gave it a shot a couple weeks ago when Wisconsin was in town, and we just couldn't make anything work. But the Chicago native, working his way up the minor league chain in the Brewers system. I do want to let everybody know that a second member of the Iowa baseball program has a professional baseball opportunity this year. And that's Tanner Wetrick, who signed an independent contract with the independent River City Rascals.
The Rascals!
You're familiar with them.
I am, sort of, your neck
of the woods.
It is. It's about 20 minutes from the house that I grew up at.
O'Fallon, Missouri. Yes. Don't know anything else about O'Fallon other than the fact that they have a brewery that makes some pretty good beer.
See, the crazy thing is O'Fallon Brewery is not even in O'Fallon, Missouri. Isn't that weird?
It's not.
I think you broke the news to me that one this one time. This has come up. O'Fallon Brewing is in Maryland Heights for some reason. It's in a different suburb of St. Louis. But O'Fallon, Missouri it's a pretty nice residential area. It's an up-and-coming area with plenty to offer, including the River City Rascals.
Let's talk college football here. Why not? With the College World Series coming to a close tonight and sort of the last official vestiges of the 2018-2019 academic and NCAA calendar coming to a close, we can officially start to look ahead to next season. By the way, the poll question today at KGYMradio.com has to do with who wins the Game 3 World Series tonight. Michigan or Vanderbilt. You can vote. And that poll question is brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. FanDuel has put out win totals for the upcoming college football season. And there seems to be a little bit, not a ton, but a little bit of consternation from the Iowa fan base because Iowa's win total for the second year in a row has been set at 7.5 wins. Is that too low? 319-366-1600. To me, this is all about Iowa's road schedule. This is Vegas playing the odds here. Because you've got a 12-game schedule. The road schedule is tough this year.
All the toughest games that they play are away from Kinnick Stadium.
You're not stealing one at home. Nebraska is going to be better. Iowa State's a really tough matchup in Ames, especially the second week of the season. You got Northwestern, Michigan, and Wisconsin, I believe, is the other road game.
You said Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
So in this order, Iowa State, Michigan, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Nebraska to round out the season. And then between Michigan and Northwestern, two games at home against Penn State and Purdue. I like where this number's at. Now, I could see them exceeding expectations. I really don't see them falling much short of seven wins. I think that if anything, that's where they would end up at. I know a lot of people have said with this roster that would be a little bit of a disappointment. Well, last year I thought that with the roster that they had, eight wins was a little bit of a disappointment, especially with everything that was up for grabs. This year, the schedule's even more difficult, way more difficult. And I don't know if I want to touch the 7.5. There's one on here, not in the Big Ten, that I think is an absolute slam dunk. But Iowa and Iowa State, I thought that they got pretty right for the most part.
Iowa State actually has the higher projected win total, and again, this is for betting purposes. This is not saying for certain that this is how the season is going to play out, but Iowa State's win total is set at 8. So you can go over under 8 wins for the Cyclones.
That schedule is much more manageable. Where you see you and I, that the game on September 14th between these two schools is going to be huge for both. Because I think it's going to direct the ceiling of how high they can go. Iowa State, if they can win that game, a lot of people are projecting them to be a top three team in the Big 12. I think Baylor will be improved. I'm not sold on TCU. I think West Virginia this season is going to be awful. Texas Tech, whatever, 6-6, 7-5. Don't think that they're going to be very good. Oklahoma, Texas, back-to-back November 9th and November 16th, and rounding out the year with Kansas and Kansas State. That is a manageable schedule, and I'm looking at that game on September 14th to decide whether or not I want to take the over for Iowa State. I'm very tempted to, if I'm in this position.
It's interesting, FanDuel, because of the New Jersey law, they could not put out an over-under on Rutgers. So for those of you out there looking for tremendous value in betting on Rutgers and how many games the Scarlet Knights will win this year, you are out of luck. How about 8.5 for Nebraska? There are a lot of people out there, the preseason magazines, a lot of pundits, talking heads. This seems to be low-hanging fruit that Scott Frost in year number two has Nebraska firing on all cylinders. The Huskers over under 8.5.
Now I scoff at that right out of the gate, and then I look at their schedule. And their schedule is terrible. Really, really bad. South Alabama on the road against this one might be tough. They lost to Colorado last year. They shouldn't have. On the road against Colorado. At home against Northern Illinois, on the road against Illinois. Now, Ohio State, I think that's a loss. But Northwestern, Minnesota, Indiana, Purdue, Wisconsin, Maryland, and then on the road against Iowa. I think they're going to be much improved, and I think this is a team that because of their record is going to show that they're a lot better than they actually are. Now, I think 8 wins is probably around the ballpark of what I would guess. But with that schedule, depending on how they look week 1, week 2, and how much improvements that they have made, I could see them I could see them eclipsing it. But it's there's still yet to be determined there with Nebraska.
Now, there's no such thing as easy money. I understand that. But I'm looking at Northwestern at 6.5. And how often do you find yourself regretting that you bet against Northwestern?
Every single year.
Underestimated what Pat Fitzgerald and the Wildcats were capable of doing.
Every year.
I don't have their schedule in front of me, but at first blush, 6.5 for Northwestern. I bet they could win 7 games this year. It certainly wouldn't surprise me. Now, you said you had one that you really liked.
We can get to that after the Big Ten ones, because there is a slam dunk one, and it's with a program that I'm pretty familiar with.
Okay.
Well, I don't like... When are the sports books opening up around here? Do we know?
I don't think we have a hard date on that yet. I think they were hoping it was sometime in early July so that they could get a little baseball money coming in and get things squared away and work out some of the bugs. Not that there's going to be a tremendous amount of issues to work out prior to business picking up for the college football season, because when late August arrives and people are going to be able to flood into the casinos at least one time, because you have to show up and physically set up your account before then you can just sit at home and wager away with your fingertips on your phone or your mobile device. But I don't know whether they have a hard launch date yet. Could have made some money on the White Sox today, +310 at Fenway against the Red Sox.
I'm not going to tell people
don't bet on baseball.
I'm not going to tell people how to bet, but here is what I will say. When the sports books do open up, and we'll be able to bet on these win totals, presumably, right?
Yes.
Okay, when they do open up, and I see a Memphis program with 9 wins, I am going to bet the house on the under. I am going to lay at least, not the house, 100, 200 bucks on the under. I mean, that to me makes absolutely zero sense.
Alex's lock of the century is his brother's former team underperforming this year.
They won 8 games last year and lost 2 feature NFL running backs. One of them who's going to be playing for the Dallas Cowboys in Tony Pollard, and one of them who might be the replacement for Todd Gurley in Los Angeles, Daryl Henderson. They lost 100-something starts on the offensive line. They still have no quarterback. And their defense is a train wreck at this point that is a full-fledged rebuild for a new defensive coordinator that may take 3 to 4 years before they even start to disassemble and improve that side of the ball. 9 wins for that team makes zero sense to me, especially since they lead off the season with Ole Miss on August the 31st. I'm looking at 7 tops for that team, and that is tops, in my opinion.
Now, I'm looking at 3 Big Ten schools lumped together at 8.5. We've touched on 2 of the 3 already, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Penn State, all at 8.5 wins. Which one of those 3 schools would be most likely to underperform that number?
319-366-1600.
You can chime in on that and more on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line.
Thank you for asking. I've said this before. I don't think Penn State's going to be very good this year. I didn't like the way that they looked last year under their new offensive coordinator without Joe Moorhead. I don't like how they're going to look without Trace McSorley next year. And the name of Miles Sanders is gone as well. He's going to the NFL. I don't have confidence in James Franklin to rebuild this thing after losing two of the greatest players that we've seen on offense at Penn State in the last 15, 20 years. and Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley. I don't like Penn State at all going into this season.
Here's the problem with that, because I just pulled up their schedule.
Uh-oh.
And it's dog poop.
Okay.
So I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here, because I agree with you. I don't think Penn State's going to be that good. However, their schedule could not set up for them any better. Their non-conference games are Idaho, Buffalo, and Pitt. And all three of them are at Beaver Stadium. So I don't know much about Pitt and where the Panthers are coming into 2019, but I think feel comfortable looking at that going. That's a 3-0 non-conference schedule right there. They travel to Maryland to open Big Ten play on September 27th. You got to figure they'll be favored there.
Yes, they will.
Purdue has to come to State College. Then Penn State travels to Iowa City. That should be a night game on October 12th, and Iowa under the lights at Kinnick Stadium is a different animal. But outside of that, Michigan plays at Beaver Stadium. They go back-to-back at Michigan State, at Minnesota. Then Indiana comes to town. They travel to Columbus, and they close out the regular season with Rutgers. That, to me, is a fairly light Big Ten schedule for
True,
Penn State.
True, but I do see four losses at least in there. I do. I don't know how they're going to be able to. I like Purdue against them. I don't like them going on the. I think Iowa will beat them. I don't think that they can handle Michigan. I think they'll lose on the road at Michigan State. I think they'll lose on the road at Ohio State. And then Minnesota, Indiana, Rutgers are all wins.
You've got Purdue going into Happy Valley and going toe-to-toe?
I do. I like. I know Purdue was inconsistent last year, and you saw the highs and the lows, and I think they're going to put it together a little bit this year. Purdue could be a sneaky 7-9 win team.
The team with the highest projected over-under is Clemson at 11.5, followed by Alabama and Georgia at 11. Then Ohio State and Oklahoma are at 10.5 for betting purposes. Boise State, a 10-win over-under. UCF, Michigan, Texas, and Washington. Texas is another one of those teams that's getting a lot of run as an early college football playoff dark horse. They're at 9.5. Again, if you're just joining us, Iowa State over-under 8 wins, and Iowa 7.5 wins this year, according to FanDuel. I don't know which way I would go on either one of those. I agree with you on Penn State, and then you take a look at that schedule, but that would hinge on the Purdue game, then essentially would be what hinges on success or failure if you're making that wager.
What's Purdue at? I'm curious. I'll try to pull up the over-under win total on Purdue, because that to me is the ultimate wild card in all of this. The Big Ten West, I thought
eight.
See, that's a team where they're expected to make a big jump, according to odds makers, because they have everybody returning on offense.
Take a look at their schedule here real quick. They open the season at Nevada, former Hawkeye Jay Norvell and crew. They play Vanderbilt in West Lafayette, and they play TCU in West Lafayette. That should be an entertaining game for a week three game, September 14th. Minnesota at Penn State, Maryland at Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, at Northwestern, at Wisconsin, Indiana. November is a pretty brutal 3 out of 4 there, playing Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin, two of the three coming on the road.
They were a team, though, last year that had such bad luck. Like, they finished 6-7 and
Got off to that terrible start, and everybody was like, what's going on with the
right.
Boilermakers?
They got off to an 0-3 start. They lost to Northwestern, Eastern Michigan, and Missouri by a combined 8 points. And everybody sort of wrote them off. They beat the crap out of Boston College. They beat Nebraska, Illinois. They beat Ohio State. And then everybody's back on the bandwagon. Then they get smoked on the road by Michigan State. Then they beat Iowa. Then they inexplicably, when everybody was putting them back into the discussion for the Big Ten West, get destroyed in a snowy game against Minnesota. They lose in three overtimes against Wisconsin, beat Indiana to round out the year, and were a complete no-show at the Music City Bowl where Auburn 63-14 trounced them. So if just a few of those games go their way this year, and I tend to believe in Jeff Brohm in those situations more times than not, you're looking at an 8-win team.
College football will be here before you know it. 5:24 as we make our way towards 7 o'clock on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Just a reminder, you can join us tomorrow, the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Returning to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road, very easy to find. Just take the 42nd Street exit when you're on 380, head east until 42nd Street tees off with Old Marion Road. Couple left-hand turns, and you are right there in the parking lot at Mulligan's. And we will be there from 4 until 7 doing the show tomorrow. Half-price wings from 6 until close. Happy hour from 3 until 6. A lot going on at Mulligan's, plus your chance to win some great prizes just for joining us. You can win tickets to see the Colonels to any game of your choosing. A four-pack of tickets coming up inside the 6 o'clock showdown tonight. We've got Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago set to join us momentarily. But first, time for another Big Board update. Kyle Mann joins us in the studio. Big Board updates on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, presented by Alexander Lumber. And you can check them out at their Answers by Alexander showroom in Iowa City if you're looking for new windows or treatments. That's on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
For what feels like the first time this spring/summer, there's really not a lot going on in our neck of the woods, but there is some stuff going on that will affect our local schools. The NCAA announced some of the updated language in its guidelines pertaining to transfer eligibility. In short, where players like Shea Patterson at Michigan used to be required to show, quote, documented mitigating circumstances, that has now been amended to be documented extenuating extraordinary circumstances. These guidelines were approved today already, so it's possible that they could have an effect on Oliver Martin's eligibility at Iowa in the upcoming season. Former Hawkeye women's basketball player Tanaya Davis was named a graduate manager at Clemson this afternoon. What's interesting about that is that she'll have an opportunity to see her former teammates when Clemson and Iowa meet in Iowa City for the first time ever this December. The Michigan baseball team has a chance to win an NCAA title tonight in a deciding game 3 against Vanderbilt. And in any other sport, that wouldn't really be news here in Iowa, but the Wolverines are fighting for the good of the Big Ten tonight. And not only the Big Ten, but the NCAA in general hasn't seen a truly northern champion since Ohio State in 1966. First pitch for that game set for 6 o'clock, and you can catch it on ESPN. The Colonels came back to win Game 2 against the Timber Rattlers last night, 4-3, although former Kirkwood Eagle Corey Howell homered in that game. Game 3 here in town is set for tonight at 6:35. And after the show here on KGYM, we'll have the Twins hosting the Rays on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Should be an interesting game for the Twins tonight. I see Willens Astudillo is set to start in the outfield. The lineup is out for that contest, and a battle of two teams that are performing or exceeding expectations, at least when compared to the preseason. The Rays and the Twins, you're coming your way on 107.5 FM, the North Gym tonight. Cubs continue their series with the Atlanta Braves. Craig Kimbrell reportedly on his way to Wrigley Field. He will not be active for tonight's game. It's Yu Darvish and Dallas Keuchel, the pitching matchup. We preview that and more with Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000 in Chicago. Jesse joins us next.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Hairball will rock the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels on Saturday, July 6th. Featuring dead-on recreations of Kiss, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Van Halen, and many more. This show starts at 7:30, and tickets are on sale now for Hairball with opening act Catfish Murphy playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium on July 6th. Brought to you by media partners 94.1 KRNA and C102.9. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now to party at the park with Hairball.
Good losers gamble to have fun. They know losing is part of the game. In fact, good losers plan on it. And they never lose more than they can afford. Good losers know when to stop. If you're a good loser, you sleep no problem. But if you can't sleep, if your losses hurt too much, we can help. Call 1-800-BETS-OFF or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.org and find out once and for all, are you a good loser? Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right, get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
Whether your project's below ground, above ground, or you're just breaking ground, United Rentals has the equipment and tools you need. We sell expertly maintained used equipment from forklifts and backhoes to scissor lifts and boom lifts. Visit us online to search our inventory of more than 4,000 equipment categories and get custom information on any unit. Visit unitedrentals.com/used today.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The best of Golic and Wingo podcast.
Sixth Man of the Year, they should rename that the Lou Williams Award.
Well, here's my question for this, and I'm happy that Lou won.
Yeah.
But there was another Clipper that was also up on the same team. I have so many questions about that.
Gordon,
how is that even
answers.
Possible?
Play
get
a little fast and loose with the concept of the Sixth Man. That being said, it's the Lou Williams Sixth Man of the Year Award
it
now.
Really
they
is.
Won't call
Lou
it
Williams
that.
Slash Jamal Crawford
it,
Sixth
we
Man.
We are officially calling it the Lou Williams Sixth Man of the Year Award.
The best of Golic and Wingo podcast on the ESPN app and Apple Podcasts.
Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Welcome back in 1600 AM, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids, online at KGYMradio.com. Hour number two of three, rolling along as we take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Let's talk a little Cubs baseball. Jesse Rogers of ESPN 1000, WMVP in Chicago, joining us on the program, always gracious with his time. And Jesse, was last night's loss just a tough loss, or would you categorize that as a bad loss for the Cubs?
No, I'm going bad. That left a bad taste in my mouth. Catch me on a different night, same game, I might feel differently. But I left that park not feeling good about that game at all. They've had too many of those kind of games, whether they lose a lead or leave too many runs out on the base paths or both, as they did last night. So that did not sit well. I mean, there's enough blame to go around when you have bad losses, and I think some of it's in the dugout with Joe. Some of it's on what happened at the plate and in the on the base paths, and obviously reliever giving up a two-run home run late to a hot hitter. All of it just did not sit well for me. So I said on my own station today, you know, that old saying, every team wins 60 and loses 60. It's the other 42 that matter. This was definitely one of those other 42. And I feel like so far through the first half of the season, the Cubs have lost more of those other 42-type games than won. So if this was the first kind of loss of this type this season, be one thing. But there's just been too many, and they're in a very average homestand where they could have gotten real healthy here with a 10 gamer. They're just 4-4. So, yeah, I thought it was a bad one.
The story of last night, Adbert Alzolay makes his second appearance. He's been pretty good. There have been some ups. There have been some downs. How would you assess his first two appearances in the big leagues?
No, they've been good. They've been good when you pull back and look at the big picture. You can extrapolate this thing out in a few weeks or months or in a year or whatever, and you just know, you see the potential there. Sure, he tired in the fifth inning yesterday. He walked the final two batters. Not great. You'd like to see him get through five and, you know, 90 pitches if it takes that many. That's okay. But just couldn't get that final out, including walking the pitcher. But Bottom line is he gave up one run in the first pitch of the game, showed a lot of poise after that, not letting that rattle him. And you could tell fastball, curveball, changeup. He's got that three-pitch thing going really well. So it's not anywhere near a finished product, but for the first time in a while, you see potential in a young Cubs arm, homegrown arm. So let's play this thing out in 3-2 months, whatever it is. We're going to see some good performances, and that was against one of the best lineups in the National League for sure.
What's the long-term prognosis for him, at least for the rest of this season? Do we see him with a chance to stick, or when Hendricks returns, does he go back to Iowa?
He could go back to Iowa as soon as tomorrow or Friday and play to switch spots with Kimbrough. I can't answer it completely. I think it's an incomplete picture right now. You have to look at the 12, 13 pitchers, whatever it is, 13 pitchers, and who's got options, who can be sent down. Alzolay is one of them. Kyle Ryan's another. So Carl Edwards is another. Those are the guys you have to look at. And if he goes down, it won't be for the rest of the year. I don't think he's made his last start. But things have to play out in a certain way. Now, look, if Chatwood blows up tomorrow as a starter, maybe they decide to leave Alzolay in the lineup and pull Chatwood out and make him a long reliever. Maybe they continue with six. I think it's a fluid thing. I really do. I think they're going to wait till the day they have to make each decision and decide, meaning maybe there's a reliever that's been overused. They want to hide him, not hide him, but maybe needs a 10-day IL stint. Maybe another starter needs a 10-day IL stint. This is all good stuff. If you can manipulate things to keep your better pitchers healthy and rested and keep a young, young prospect up, that's great. If you have to send him down for a turn or two, that's okay too. There's a reason you have a shuttle with AAA with guys that have options. So I think he'll get more starts. I just don't know when or what the plan is. And I think the plan for them is to sort of make each decision as they have to. So Kimbrough probably comes on Friday. I think they'll make the decision then, unless it's just set and they know it. But I would say they want to keep themselves open as much as possible. Someone gets hurt between now and then. You can always send someone down. If someone else gets hurt, bring them back up. But I just think they want to keep the flexibility as much as they can with all these arms.
You mentioned Craig Kimbrell, and you alluded to it there. Probably on Friday, there are reports out there that he's nearing activation. 4 appearances in Iowa, 3 2/3 innings, 1 run allowed. What are the reports about how he looked and what the stuff looked like when he was in Des Moines?
Yeah, well, you guys might be a little bit closer to it than I am. But, pretty good, pretty good. 95, 96 is good. Someone said was wondering about his command, one of the scouts. But, look, he's just 4 appearances in about eight months or whatever it is, 9 months. So, and that was a AAA. We'll get the real story up here. The velocity's good. He's gotten his work in. The real story is when he comes up here, they put the third deck on the stadium, and we'll see if he's the same old Craig Kimbrough. He looks like it. But you never know. You never know. I don't think we're going to get the Craig Kimbrough at his peak. I don't think so. There's a point in everyone's career that you get over 30 years old and you start the other side of things. Now, that doesn't mean he's way down low, but obviously he had some troubles last year, certainly in the playoffs. Doesn't mean it's going to carry over. But I don't think you can expect peak Craig Kimbrough because there's only a few years that you can expect that, and I think we're probably past that. But very good is good enough. It doesn't have to be the best in the league, and just be very good. So let's see how it plays out. It could be a little shaky, wonky, whatever, the first few outings. You never know. He's kind of a walk the tightrope type closer anyway these days. Put a guy or two on and get out of it. He did that in the playoffs a lot last year. If he's a 3-run lead, he might give up 2 runs and still get the save. So all reports are good, but that's just AAA stuff, 4 appearances, right? We really need to see him up here for a bit.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, joining us as the Cubs continue their series with the Braves tonight. It'll be Yu Darvish and Dallas Keuchel. Chris Bryant has had sort of an up-and-down season this year. Jesse, can you put your finger on the inconsistencies with him?
Well, people ask me about this. It's not that – it's really not that inconsistent. It just – he's on a 22-game on-base streak right now, 22 in a row on base. Earlier in the year, he had, a 25 or 26 on base, but that's not very sexy for most people. His problem is the clutch stats. For example, this month in June, he's only had 13 at-bats with runners in scoring position. He's 2-for-13. So some of those moments, like last night, first and second, nobody out, he hits into a double play. But You look at earlier in the game, he draws a walk, he does this, he does that. It's some of the clutch stats that haven't been good over the last couple, 3 years, and that sort of makes his whole game look worse. But most people in the game will say that's pretty random. I mean, I guess we could look back at someone's career, and if his stats are great everywhere except in clutch moments, then there's something to it. Maybe he's squeezing the bat too tight. But I don't think he's been as inconsistent as you might think. It's just maybe inconsistent in the bigger moments. And I don't have an answer for that. I doubt anybody does. You can't just jump to the conclusion he's unclutch. That's just a tough analysis to make. Could he, if he's 4 for 13 with runners, that sounds better. You know, he just has to be a little bit better, come through a little bit more. And I don't think people will put that inconsistent label on him because, he's hitting like 300 in June, 400 on base, 15 home runs is fine. Just the RBI total is lower, but he's batting second and behind Schwarber, who's not getting on that much. And like I said, he's only 2 for 13, 4 or 5 for 13. He's probably got 5 or 6 more ribbies. It looks a little better in June. So I think it's small moments that are making bigger conclusions from people. And I think you gotta be careful about that because we know that doesn't define a player, you know, totally.
So you mentioned the clutch stats. What about this team's home and road splits? How concerning is that discrepancy?
Yeah, see, I think it's concerning in that it highlights an aspect of this team. To me, this is me interpreting this whole thing. You can't just, they're bad on the road without explaining why exactly. What's going on there? They have come up short in different areas, and I think their lack of depth has manifested itself more on the road when you're, you know, already behind the eight ball, right? Most teams play better at home than on the road. So they're already a little bit behind the eight ball because you're playing on the road, and they're just not as deep. So I can't, you know, it's not any one stat that will prove that. It's not any one moment, but I feel like that's coming out on the road more, where they're under 500 in one run games on the road. I think it was 4 and 7 last time I looked. Moments, things like that. They've blown more leads on the road. You know, being tied going in the ninth inning on the road, you're at a disadvantage, right? The home team has the advantage there with last at bat. So I does that make sense to you? I feel like their lack of depth manifests itself or is manifesting itself more on the road. This team isn't as deep and talented as previous Cubs teams, and it's showing up at different times, I think, especially on the road.
A lot of Cubs fans are starting to take notice of what Robel Garcia is doing down in AAA Iowa. They'd like to see him get a chance. The problem is he's not on the 40-man roster. Can you foresee him getting a shot? And if he does, what would that mean for the current big league roster?
Yeah, it's a good question. The answer is yes. They would be silly not to try him out, right? I mean, maybe he's a 4A player, right? He was in Italy for all those years. Maybe he's a 4A player, but you don't know that until you give him a chance. And the bottom line is there's some bats on this team that are not performing. Carlos Gonzalez seemed like a good pickup, good defensive guy, but the bat isn't there. Daniel Descalso has been struggling for a while. Addison Russell's up and down. I mean, there's no reason you can't take a shot. You could send Russell down. He has options. Bring up Garcia, you can maneuver some things. Next IL stint for a position player, you can bring him up. You're approaching, we're not quite there yet, probably post All-Star break, you're approaching the point where enough trying guys out, and now it's got to be the guys that can produce. Now, we don't know if Garcia can produce. That's the unknown. The known right now, basically, Cargo, Russell, Almora, Descalso. That's 4 bats, not exactly lighting it up, and Bodie can be up and down, although I think he's been better than those other guys. So short answer is yes. Long answer is I don't know exactly when, but he's got to get an opportunity. What's the point of putting him down there for safekeeping and then having a great year without giving him a chance? Different if you're completely stacked at the major league level and everyone's hitting. That's not the case.
How good was it for the Cubs to see John Lester's performance on Monday night after a few shaky ones in a row?
Well, I don't think it was that important, other than the fact that he won the game. I mean, every win's important, but I don't think it said anything either way if he wasn't great. The guy still has something left. We've seen it enough already this year. I'm already convinced. He might have 3 bad ones in a row coming up, but I know that he can have a good one. He has it in him. That was a great performance. The wind was blowing out at 17 miles an hour, 2 unearned runs, and the run scored on a 4 hopper up the middle after an error by Bodie, I guess they gave it to. So I don't think it was important, like, about what it means in the future. I just think that they needed the win, and he's got to pile up some good innings and outings for the team more than anything. But he has not lost it. He's not over the hill. It's a guy that had a great April, a great stint after coming off the injured list. That surprised me. He was bound to come back down to earth. And my feeling on him is he's going to end up with an ERA in the threes. It could be closer to four. It could be closer to two. Right now, it looks like it'd probably be closer to four. But one way or another, he's going to be in a 3.8, 3.9, maybe 4.01 range. And that's not so bad in this day and age, the way the ball is flying out.
Well, what are your expectations for tonight's game? We mentioned the pitching matchup already. Yu Darvish and Dallas Keuchel. Could be a good one. Could be another stinker like last night. You never know.
Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, it was still a good pitching match. It was just 3-2. Could be look, with Darvish, you don't know, but at least he's a little bit more predictable than he used to be. Right now, he has this thing about giving back runs when the Cubs score for him. So that's a little weird. I would assume that's just a small trend, but it's been going on for a while. So he's got to have some shutdown innings. But he's no longer like a two-inning pitcher, right? He can get through 5, 6, 7. This Braves lineup I like a lot. It's really hard to keep them down. Cubs have limited them to 3 runs in each of the first 2 games. So if they do that again, good chance to win. Just don't know where Keuchel is. I mean, it'd be better if the Cubs were facing him with his first start of the season. You know, he got one under his belt, probably will grow from there. And obviously he wants to have a signature outing as a Brave as soon as possible. So on paper, it looks pretty good, but the weather is good. Hitting conditions have been good. And you kind of have uncertainty on both sides in terms of pitchers, because you never know about Darvish and you just don't know where Keuchel is in his development. But they both have great stuff, that's for sure. So it is a great match. This could be a playoff preview. These two teams, I love the Braves lineup. I like the Cubs pitching staff better. So it's kind of even. But right now the Braves are playing better baseball, that's for sure. Just look at the records.
Can we officially put Ozzie Albies on the Mount Rushmore of Cubs killers?
Absolutely. 100% you can. He is there. You've probably seen some of my tweets. He now has minimum 50 at-bats, the highest slug percentage of any opponent in 100 years against the Cubs. 845, I think it is. Slugging, that's not OPS. He is slugging 845. And for the life of me, I don't understand why Joe didn't turn him around and make him bat left-handed. He's a killer right now, right-handed. So I thought that was a mistake, but I don't know what's with this guy. He's batting eighth in the Braves lineup, probably is a 220, 250 hitter against everyone else. But against the Cubs, he's hitting like 500, 847 slugging. Nobody in the history game in the last 100 years had a higher slugging percentage, again, minimum 50 at-bats, than Ozzie Albies. So it's been quite the show, and I keep thinking, oh, he's got to come back to earth, and then he wins the game with a home run. So they better try out the scouting report and just go off of feel at this point instead of trying to analyze it.
Jesse, always appreciate you joining us here, and as a thank you, during that entire segment, I've been voting for Tommy La Stella for the All-Star game for you.
Excellent man. I'll come on every day if he makes it. Let's hope he does. I'm not sure that Theo and Jed will be happy for him, but a little egg on their face. Giving away that guy for nothing, and then he ends up starting the All-Star game. But what a first half he had, so I hope he gets there.
Jesse, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Jesse Rogers, ESPN 1000 in Chicago.
The first half that Tommy La Stella is having.
Yeah, and you compare
didn't see that,
that
one coming.
You compare that to Daniel Descalso and Addison Russell and what they're providing or not providing at second base right now for the Cubs. If you could give that front office one mulligan going into 2019, I think that's the one that they would take at this point. You keep La Stella around, but nobody could have seen the it's hard to call it a breakout because he's a veteran player, but he's a launch angle guy. He made an adjustment to his swing and dedicated himself to the launch angle revolution and has really been doing amazing things with the Angels, amazing things that many people probably haven't seen because the Angels are on the West Coast and you got to stay up late at night to see them most times. But speaking of the Angels, Shohei Ohtani threw his first bullpen session today on the way back from Tommy John surgery. He's been active as the designated hitter for the Angels for the better part of the last month and a half, but starting to work on resuming pitching activities. That loss last night, though, by the Cubs, I thought Jesse summed it up really well. You win 60, you lose 60, and it's what you do in the other 42 that matters. And in many of those 42 this year, the Cubs have been on the wrong side in the win-loss column. So that last night's game, a great example of that. 3-2, had the bases loaded with Alzolay at the plate, and major blunders on the base paths, couldn't get anything going, and then you give up the home run late in the game that ultimately winds up a spelling disaster for the Cubs. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. If you want a Minnesota Twins fix, Phil Miller of the Minneapolis Star Tribune joined Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann on the Gym Class earlier today. You can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com to catch that segment if you missed it. The Twins take on the Tampa Bay Rays tonight on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Baseball finals earlier today. The Indians continue to stay hot in the American League Central. They beat the Royals 5-3. Yankees, an 8-7 winner over Toronto. Another home run extends their consecutive games with a home run streak to 29 as they beat the Blue Jays, and the White Sox rally to beat the Red Sox 8-7 at Fenway Park. Couple games in progress, three more that have gone final while we've been on the air. Colorado doubled up San Francisco 6-3. Arizona cooled off the Dodgers, at least for today, 8-2. And San Diego hanging a 10 spot on the woeful Baltimore Orioles at Camden Yards. We mentioned the Cubs taking on the Braves tonight. That's a 7:05 first pitch. Oakland is in St. Louis visiting the Cardinals. That series continues with a 6:15 first pitch.
The Cup is in the house. I'm just seeing it on Twitter. I just had to throw that out there.
Is tonight the Stanley Cup celebration?
It is the Stanley Cup celebration at Busch Stadium while the Cardinals try to wring as much out of this championship for the Blues and keep the focus off of themselves for the time being.
That's about to be a little bit more difficult because Stanley Cup hangover is about to wear off and people are going to start to pay attention to where the Cardinals are in the standings. Brewers have the Mariners tonight at Miller Park. That's a 7:10 first pitch. And the Reds on the West Coast taking on the Angels, although it's a West Coast game, but it's a 7:07 first pitch. 319-366-1600. 5:50, we need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kevin Durant's surprising decision to opt out of his $31.5 million option for next season. What does it mean for his impending free agency? Back with more after this.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
It's a winner-take-all College World Series final game tonight between the Michigan Wolverines and the Vanderbilt Commodores. The Michigan Wolverines looking for the first Big Ten title in college baseball since 1966. And if you want to watch the game, go into Buffalo Wild Wings and enjoy the new All-American Cheeseburger while you're at it. Two fresh, never-frozen patties smashed till they're crispy around the edges, covered in gooey American cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And while you're watching the game, don't forget to grab a beer to wash it down. Get the new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings today. And as always, please drink responsibly.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blairs Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
We know when kids grow up, time spent in the park, around the campfire, or at the lake is what they'll remember. We know the great outdoors. We love the great outdoors. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, where you can save big during our Star Spangled Summer Sale. Like Bass Pro Flag Tiers for under $10 each, and a Stars and Stripes Tailgate Toss Game for under $30. Visit BassPro.com and Cabela's.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're gonna let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. The perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline is engineered with four levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. It's sort of like having ninjas protect your engine. That helps keep your engine running like new. New Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. It's fuel for thought in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
I understand you giving Carson Wentz a new contract. You didn't have to. You did it early. But that's not even my beat. My beef is you had to make sure you gave him the same amount as Russell Wilson. You couldn't give him a penny less, a dollar less. You had to sit there and give him the same amount as Russell Wilson. What you trying to say? What y'all trying to say, NFL culture?
The Stephen A. Smith Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Welcome back in 5:56. Kyle's going to have a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, your chance to take home four tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action at the game of your choice inside the 6 o'clock showdown. Seven questions in 60 seconds. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a sticky Wednesday evening here in eastern Iowa. Many of you, much like me, probably planning on going home tonight and tackling mowing the yard or doing some things outside before you call it a night. Take a nice cold shower. Maybe grab a beer and relax before going to bed. Kevin Durant opted out of the $31.5 million player option that he had for next year with Golden State. This is despite the fact that he is not going to play at all next season, most likely, while he recovers from the Achilles injury. Did that surprise you today, that he did not take $31.5 million from Golden State to sit around and rehab?
It didn't surprise me. It told me something, though. It told me that he's going to have offers on the free agent market, and he's going to be looking at taking those offers. And you would think that his days as a Golden State Warrior are numbered, because if you heard his agent speak prior to this process, The $31.5 million player option was on the table, and they said it was, quote, a last resort if, in fact, there are no offers in free agency. So he's not taking the opt-in, meaning they believe that they're going to get offers in free agency despite the fact that he will not play next season with that ruptured Achilles.
He could sign the four-year, $164 million deal with another team, or he could sign a five-year, $221 million deal with the Warriors. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that every team pursuing him is expected to still offer him the full max contract.
The super max deal, right, for a player who's been all NBA 3 years in a row? The minutiae of the contracts in the NBA gets confusing, but there's no doubt that Kevin Durant is in line for a super max contract.
He's in New York right now with his agent, where they are said to be mulling their free agency options. But right now, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who would, of course, know, nobody has the NBA covered better than Woj, that so far they are keeping things pretty close to the vest. They don't want anybody to really know what they're talking about here. I thought $31.5 million to just sit around and not play seemed like kind of a no-brainer.
He might get $35 million to sit around and not play.
It's, was it $3.5 million extra? Is it really? Who am I to sit here and say that's not that big of a deal? I was excited. I won $2 on a scratch-off lottery ticket earlier today. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. They're about to get underway in Omaha, the deciding Game 3 of the College World Series between Vanderbilt and Michigan tonight. That's our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Who wins this year's College World Series? Will it be the Wolverines or the Commodores? You can vote, KGYMRadio.com. Poll question presented by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 6 o'clock hour is on the way next. It'll begin with the 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds. Your chance to win tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels later this summer. Back with more after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
Sports Center. What a busy day around Major League Baseball. Busy day in sports news. There were 6 afternoon games in the bigs. There's a couple of NBA pieces of news. Let's start there because the Houston Rockets, according to Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe, are dangling Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, and P.J. Tucker to teams that have salary cap space so they can trade them, and all they really want in return is a first-round pick. The Rockets' intention would be to then take that first-round pick, put it together in a package to the Philadelphia 76ers to try to get this whole sign and trade thing done so Jimmy Butler can go to Houston. All of this is regarding NBA maneuvering around a free agency. Butler is a free agent. He can, of course, sign a max deal, longer years, longer terms, longer money in Philadelphia. Woj also reports today Kevin Durant has informed the Warriors he's declining the $31.5 million player option for next year. He's going to be a free agent. Remember, he's likely going to miss the entire season because of the torn Achilles tendon. A max deal with Golden State if he returns, 5 and 1 and 221. If he leaves and signs with another team, the most he could get is 4 years and 164. He's looking at the Golden State on a comeback, but he's also interested in the Nets, the Knicks, and the Clippers. Marc Gasol, by the way, going to stay with the Raptors. He picks up his player option, $25.6 million. Yankee slugger Giancarlo Stanton back on the 10-day injured list, more than a week after he came off of it. He suffered a sprained knee last night. Yankees walk off the Blue Jays today. They do hit a home run, 39th consecutive game. Final game of the College World Series about to start. ESPN.
The New York Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Live from Citi Field this weekend. Coverage begins Sunday at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN. Presented by Indeed.
We know with the right combination of sunny days, picnics, and trips to the lake, some summers can last a lifetime. We know the great outdoors. We love the great outdoors. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, where you can save big during our Star Spangled Summer Sale. Like select men's Henley shirts and logo t-shirts for under $10 each, and a Coleman 48-quart cooler for under $20. Bass Pro Shops, and Cabela's. Your adventure starts here.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
Wonderful pitching matchup coming up for Game 2 Wednesday night between the Twins and the Rays. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Charlie Morton leads the American League in ERA. He throws for Tampa Bay. The guy number three on that list, Jake Odorizzi. Two guys, ERAs in the two, should be great on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
6:03, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from the comforts of the KGYM studios, the air-conditioned climate of the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids today, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, also heard on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and online at KGYMradio.com. Don't forget, poll question is there for the voting. Got to get your votes in before that game gets underway. Michigan and Vanderbilt about to start in Omaha, game three of that series. And we broke it down earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. If you missed that segment, you can go back and visit the podcast after the show is over tonight, KGYMradio.com. Bad news for the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton. Back on the injured list with a knee injury. Didn't slow the Yankees down today, though. They wound up beating the Blue Jays, but that's a team that just cannot stay healthy. And yet they still have managed to persevere with Aaron Judge out for a long stretch of time. He just recently returned to the lineup, but then they go and lose Stanton right away again.
This might be a hot take, but does it almost feel like they have better options than Giancarlo Stanton right now? I know that he is a really good player, and when he's healthy, which is a big win, it's a big if at this point, but my goodness, they have so much depth right now, and Aaron Judge returning, and the addition of Edwin Encarnacion, the way that Gary Sanchez has come out of nowhere this year after a really disappointing season last year. I think they have a lot of firepower. It's just that's a lot of strikeouts. We know that that's the Major League Baseball lineup or the Major League Baseball model. You just wonder how much a team like that can hold up in the postseason.
319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. You can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. The major story today, as we covered at the beginning of the program, the NCAA tightening transfer restrictions, this after a brief flirtation with becoming ever so slightly more player-friendly. The NCAA now making it more difficult for players to transfer and play immediately to get one of those so-called hardship waivers. Among the new proposals, players would have to get a letter from the previous school's athletic director saying that they were eligible or not eligible to return to the team. No athletic director in the country is going to write that letter. And also providing basically full medicals for any family member if the reason for transferring was to be closer to home due to a medical condition of a family member. You'd essentially have to have information from the attending physician as well as information about your role, the player's role, in acting as a caregiver.
That's pathetic. I mean, my goodness. It's not enough that a player wants to be closer to their ailing family member. Like, that's not enough. They have to also somehow be caregivers, too.
Yeah, you know, your family member is laying there in the hospital and they're not doing too good, and the NCAA wants to know, well, are you just there visiting with them or are you there changing the sheets and the bedpan? Because if you're just there visiting, you can sit out the year. I mean, it goes back to the Luke Ford situation, who the player transferred from Georgia Tech to Illinois, wanted to be closer to an ailing family member, denied by the NCAA to play immediately. But you have a couple other high-profile situations where, for playing time purposes, and they were very clear about this, very transparent, that they were transferring for more playing time, the NCAA immediately granted those waivers. And now, again, after showing glimpses of being more friendly toward these student-athletes, and remember, the NCAA always likes to remind you that they're watching out for their student-athletes. After being a little bit more friendly and showing an ability to work with them on things like transferring, now they're going back to the old-school, hard-line NCAA way of doing things.
This was March 8th of 2018, and this is a quote from Iowa Athletics Director Gary Barta on the work group that they put together to try to decide whether or not they were going to loosen up the NCAA transfer rules. It gets very contentious. It can become difficult for the student, Barta said. This is from the Des Moines Register. And yet the student has to have some level of responsibility. So it's just trying to find the sweet spot where if the student takes care of their academic business and wants to transfer, they can transfer. That was March of last year.
8350 on the text line raises a really good point. What about the HIPAA regulations here?
It's like you have to do this or we're not going to let you transfer and not sit out.
Do you have grandma's complete medical file? We'd like to review grandma's medical file to see whether or not you can transfer to be closer to home and play right away.
I swear, this is Edward Rooney from Ferris Bueller. You produce a corpse and I'll let your kid go. That's sort of what it feels like to me when it's laughable. It's really sad.
319-366-1600. If you yourself would like to weigh in on this topic or anything else that we've covered so far on the program today, we do need to give away 4 tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels in action, though. These are 4 club vouchers, so you can use them for any remaining Cedar Rapids Colonels game this season. We're going to make you win them, though, inside the 6 o'clock showdown. We need callers number 1 and 2 to 319-366-1600. Callers number 1 and 2 right now to 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our contestants are today inside the showdown as they are officially underway at the TD Ameritrade Ballpark in downtown Omaha. Beautiful facility, great city for college baseball. Game 3, the deciding contest between Vandy and Michigan. No Big Ten team has won a College World Series title since Ohio State back in 1966. The smart money is on Vanderbilt, although the way that Michigan has been playing, and Eric Bakich, their coach, made a strategic decision to punt basically on game 2 yesterday facing Kumar Rocker. Probably a wise decision. 6 1/3 innings, 11 strikeouts, virtually unhittable. And so they held some of their better pitching in reserve for a do-or-die Game 3. Again, they are underway, and if you want to watch that game, it's airing right now on ESPN. Although, we've got the showdown contestants locked and loaded, ready to go. Steve in Cedar Rapids is with Alex tonight, and Brandon in Coggin is... Actually, we've got a little bit of a typo situation here, because unless both of these guys want to play with Alex, who's supposed to be playing with me tonight?
I'll take you, Todd.
Is that Brandon?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Brandon, hang tight. Steve in Cedar Rapids is going to chat with Alex and get things squared away as to whether or not they would like to go first or last.
Steve, you want to go first or second?
Let's go first.
All right.
Okay, Brandon, hang tight. These guys will set the bar for us.
All right, Steve, 7 questions, 60 seconds. If you don't know the answer to a question, just say pass. We will return to it. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Former Iowa player Tania Davis has joined this ACC school staff as a graduate manager.
Wake Forest.
This relief pitcher is expected to join the Chicago Cubs later this week.
Chris Kimbrell.
Name the two teams that are playing for a College World Series title tonight in Omaha.
Vanderbilt and Michigan.
Iowa's Tyler Cook signed a partially guaranteed contract with this NBA team.
Chicago Bulls.
How many years did the St. Louis Blues extend head coach Craig Berube for?
Three.
Which member of the Cyclones will play for the U19 team USA squad in the World Cup?
Pass.
The gym class is giving away tickets to this PGA event all week long.
John Deere Classic.
Right at the buzzer.
Four. All okay. Right. Brandon, that's going to be a little bit of tough sledding here, but I think we can. We've got a good crack at this. Same rules apply here. If you want to pass, just say pass. If there's time left, we'll circle back around to him. Whenever you're ready, I'll start with your first question.
All right, go ahead.
All right, what legendary NHL goaltender announced his retirement today after 20 seasons in the league?
Pass.
Name one of the two Big Ten players selected in the first round of last week's NBA draft.
Winston?
The NCAA is expected to release new legislation, making it more difficult for players to do what?
Transfer.
Which school announced they were leaving the AAC over the weekend to rejoin the Big East in basketball?
Pass.
Which NBA player declined his $31.5 million player option today?
Pass.
FanDuel released its projected win totals for college football. Did Iowa or Iowa State have the higher win total?
Iowa State.
And the Cedar Rapids Colonels are in the midst of a series with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, the Class A affiliate of this NL Central team.
Athletics.
2 for Brandon tonight. Sorry, Brandon. Better luck next time. Appreciate you listening, as always. And we'll put you... we'll put Steve in Cedar Rapids on hold. He's our winner tonight of the 4-pack of tickets to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Actually, a 4-pack of vouchers to see the Cedar Rapids Colonels. That way, Steve can pick which game he would like to attend. And don't look now, but Michigan has grabbed a 1-0 lead on the Vandy boys.
Three straight singles. They take a 1-0 lead. And they have their two of their three best pitchers sort of waiting in the wings and rested, ready to go for game three because they were not used last night. Smart move.
I'm vibing on this Michigan team. I just
chess match
for and Eric Backich, for those of you who are unfamiliar, spent a little bit of time at Vanderbilt as their recruiting coordinator and an assistant coach there. So he's got close ties to the Vanderbilt program, but Michigan draws first blood in Game 3 in Omaha tonight. The legendary NHL goaltender that announced his retirement earlier today, Roberto Luongo.
Bobby Lou!
11 of those seasons with the Florida Panthers.
Really?
Name one of the two Big Ten players taken in the first round of last week's NBA draft, Romeo Langford and Jordan Poole. UConn is leaving the AAC to join the Big East in basketball. Iowa State had the higher win total. Brandon got that one. My apologies.
Kevin Durant, yeah, the player.
Kevin Durant, yeah, declining the $31.5 million player option. And the Colonels taking on the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers. The T-Rats are the affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Clemson. He guessed Wake Forest, but Clemson is the school that Iowa player Tania Davis has joined as a graduate manager. Tyler Cook signed a partially guaranteed contract with the Denver Nuggets, and Tyrese Halliburton is the Iowa State player that will play on the Team USA U19 World Cup team.
That is getting underway, I believe Saturday is the first game this weekend. By the way, Taniya Davis joining the Clemson staff is notable because Clemson comes to Carver-Hawkeye Arena December 4th for the Big Ten ACC Challenge on the women's side of things. So we will see her back in Carver-Hawkeye Arena, and congratulations to her on taking the first step in her coaching career. What does a graduate manager do? I've heard of a graduate assistant. I've never heard of the term graduate manager.
I wonder if that's sort of the equivalent in college basketball.
Is it? Could be.
Because I know graduate assistants are in football, and they're sort of the cross between a manager and a coach, and they're also getting their graduate's degree in whatever major they're in. So I wonder if that's sort of the same idea that Taniya Davis is doing, trying to get her feet wet and get her foot in the door in the coaching ranks. That would be my guess.
Megan Gustafson, speaking of women's basketball players, the University of Iowa, former women's basketball players, had a funny tweet earlier today talking about her experience driving in Dallas. And she said, all of a sudden, Iowa City traffic looks a lot more like the traffic in Port Wing, Wisconsin. If you've ever driven in Dallas.
My goodness, it is.
Dallas and Houston are just awful.
There's a lot of traffic, but those highways, I have never been to, other than even L.A. isn't quite like this, but the sprawling highways of like 5 or 6 lanes deep of traffic is something that you have to experience to understand how hectic it would be to live in that city. And everything's just so spread out. Everything's 45 minutes, half hour away from each other. It is a very, very large city, very difficult city to drive in.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, you can use it to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Michigan with an early lead in Game 3 of the College World Series. If you follow Rob Friedman, the pitching ninja, on Twitter, he had some behind-the-plate views of Kumar Rocker's arsenal yesterday in Game 2, and I'm thinking to myself, in watching those, it's so easy to sit back and criticize umpires, and it's easier today than it ever has been because of the little box on the TV that shows you where the ball winds up and is it a ball or a strike and what was it called. Watch some of those catchers or umpires' views of Kumar Rocker's pitches and tell me that umpires should be batting 1,000 when it comes to calling balls and strikes. And I've said this before. I think pitchers have more movement on their offerings today than they ever have before, and it's so difficult for these guys to sit back there and consistently call balls and strikes because of the amount of movement on some of the pitches. So the split second decision between ball and strike, and very, very impressive watching Kumar Rocker work last night. And I think Michigan, they knew as the underdog that they couldn't stack the deck last night in a game that they most likely were not going to win. Again, Kumar Rocker,
great decision.
Could probably pitch for a major league team right now in the bullpen somewhere. Someone would find a home for him. He's the number one draft prospect in the 2021 draft class. And so Michigan decides, hey, it's a 3-game series for a reason. We won game one. Let's go ahead and play for tomorrow. Tomorrow is here. Game 3 underway in Omaha. You can watch it on ESPN. It is 6:21. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. Unlike typical profit-driven financials, DePaco's cooperative member-owned structure enables us to give money back to you. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DuPaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DuPaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DuPaco is federally insured by NCUA Equal Housing Opportunity.
Hairball will rock the ballpark with the Cedar Rapids Colonels on Saturday, July 6th. Featuring dead-on recreations of Kiss, Motley Crue, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Van Halen, and many more. This show starts at 7:30, and tickets are on sale now for Hairball with opening act Catfish Murphy playing at Veterans Memorial Stadium on July 6th. Brought to you by media partners 94.1 KRNA and C102.9. Visit Colonels.com and get your tickets now to party at the park with Hairball.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com. Celebrate this season with a bang with the opportunity of a lifetime from Imon. For a limited time, lock in your internet price for life. That's right, get Imon 80 megabit internet for just $64 a month and lock in this fantastic monthly rate for life. Freedom from annual price increases. No ugly surprises when your promotion expires. For the first time ever, you have the opportunity to lock it in for life. Switch to Imon's Price for Life internet service today. Go to imon.net/radio before July 4th to sign up and lock it in for life.
I said we got your game.
We've all heard the joke, why do they call it golf? The answer, all the other four-letter words were taken. Hi, Dave Austed here. We hear those words when golfers airmail the green or duck hook the ball into the water. It could be a swing thing, or it could be your clubs aren't fit for your size, swing, and ability. Custom fitting isn't just for the pros. In fact, custom fitting golf clubs will actually benefit the amateur golfer more. So take some advice from Austed's, a Golf Digest Top 100 fitter, and book an appointment to get fit today. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Wonderful pitching matchup coming up for Game 2 Wednesday night between the Twins and the Rays. Hi, this is Corey Provis. Charlie Morton leads the American League in ERA. He throws for Tampa Bay. The guy number 3 on that list, Jake Odorizzi. Two guys, ERAs in the 2s should be great on your home for Twins baseball.
Tonight at 7 on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Wednesday evening. Semi-steamy Wednesday evening here in Eastern Iowa, 1600 AM. Your home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio throughout this portion of the Hawkeye State. Also heard on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, where we will be bringing you the first-place Minnesota Twins tonight as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays at Target Field. Here to tell you more about that and elsewhere. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Kyle Mann, our producer, he's got a big board update presented by the good folks at Alexander Lumber. You can find them at their temporary location in Iowa City at 2802 Independence Road.
For what feels like the first time this spring slash summer, there's really not a lot going on in our neck of the woods, but there is some stuff going on that will affect our local schools still. The NCAA announced some updated language in its guidelines pertaining to transfer eligibility. In short, where players like Shea Patterson at Michigan used to be required to show, quote, documented mitigating circumstances, that has now been amended to be documented extenuating extraordinary circumstances. These guidelines were approved today already, so it's quite possible that it'll have an effect on Oliver Martin's eligibility at Iowa this season. Former Hawkeye women's basketball player Tanaya Davis was named a graduate manager at Clemson this afternoon. What's interesting about that is that she'll have an opportunity to see her former teammates when Clemson and Iowa meet in Iowa City for the first time ever this December. The Michigan baseball team has a chance to win an NCAA title tonight in a deciding Game 3 against Vanderbilt. And in any other sport, that wouldn't be news here in Iowa, but the Wolverines are fighting for the good of the Big Ten. Not only the Big Ten, but the NCAA in general hasn't seen a truly northern champion since Ohio State in 1966. That game is underway right now. The Colonels came back to win Game 2 against the Timber Rattlers last night, 4-3, although former Kirkwood Eagle Corey Howell homered in that game. Game 3 here in town is set for tonight at 6:35. And after the show, we're going to have the Twins hosting the Rays on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
And we're working on getting Corey Howell on the program with us, the one-time University of Iowa commit, making the transition from infielder to outfielder in the Brewers system. The Colonels 3-2 in the second half of the Midwest League season so far. Home through the weekend, and they take a couple days off, and home for the 4th of July, if I remember correctly. You can get your tickets at Colonels.com. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It doubles as the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, the number 366-1600. Vanderbilt should feel lucky to get out of that first inning only down one run. If you're Michigan, you're probably kicking yourself right now that you couldn't put up more than a single run in the top half of the first.
Yeah, I think that if you're Michigan, you want to jump on a pitcher like Vanderbilt is throwing out there early. You want to get as many runs on that, on some of the fantastic arms that Vanderbilt has at their disposal early, because you just don't get too many opportunities. However, Michigan and their pitching staff is nothing to sneeze at. Their starter tonight was what do they call the round in between the first and the supplemental round pick?
Supplemental round, compensation round. Yeah, you're not a first rounder, but you're not a second rounder.
They have their Saturday and Sunday starters ready to go tonight and fully with full rest, and they're going to be able to use both of them if need be.
You know, I've been banging the drum for several years now trying to clue people in that Big Ten baseball is a lot better than people seem to give it credit for. And we've seen the resurgence of the Iowa baseball program under Rick Heller. Eric Bakich had an opportunity two seasons ago to leave Michigan for Stanford and was highly pursued by the Cardinal and turned that program down. And Stanford is a marquee college baseball program. And he decided he was going to stay in Ann Arbor with the Wolverines, and that decision has paid off. Now it's a matter of keeping him. As I mentioned earlier when we were talking with Brandon Jacobs, who covers the Wolverines, Tracy Smith took Indiana to the College World Series, and 2 years later, he was the head coach at Arizona State. So such is life. I know it's hard for people to view the Big Ten as a stepping stone, because we're so used to talking about the conference as a Power Five conference in football and men's basketball, but Big Ten baseball coaches, often that's a stepping stone to better gigs. But if they keep Eric Bakich there in Ann Arbor, there's no reason to believe Michigan can't continue to win baseball games in the Big Ten. And it goes back to our conversation that we've had about Michigan, Indiana, Iowa, maybe one or two other schools that are really making an effort to win in baseball right now. But there's no reason that someday in the near future that this couldn't be the University of Iowa we'd be watching.
At least in the College World Series, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that Iowa could make a run like that.
Michigan was one out away from its season being over.
Right.
And that's always in poker, they say, a chip and a chair, and Michigan still has chips to cash in. We'll see whether or not they can hit the jackpot tonight as the third and final game of the College World Series is underway in Omaha. You can still vote. We'll let you vote in our poll question as to whether or not you think Michigan or Vanderbilt will win, because the Commodores are not going to go quietly, so feel free to vote. Our poll question today at KGYM brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. 319-366-1600, the text line. You can use it to reach out to us. People are still weighing in on the NCAA crackdown. I don't want to maybe say crackdown, but the NCAA is walking back on its previously evolved stance of player transfers. And if you read some of the reporting on this, Stuart Mandel at The Athletic and ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, this is basically comes in response to the number of waiver requests that the NCAA got inundated with. Once they made it easier for players to transfer, they didn't like the number of requests that they received for waivers, and so now they're enacting this legislation to tighten up or lessen the number of waiver requests that they're getting.
That is the most NCAA thing I've ever heard.
Too much work. Yeah, it's too much work for us. This is too popular.
We have to do more work. This makes our jobs more difficult. So let's lessen the amount of waivers that we receive. You know what? I was speculating earlier in the show. What are these people thinking? There's no rhyme or reason for what they do. But hey, this makes sense. This is completely on brand for the NCAA because they're lazy and they don't want more work. That makes sense. Mystery solved.
It goes back to, I saw a story not too long ago. You've got all these food delivery services out there right now that for a nominal charge will go into a restaurant that does not deliver. They'll pick up your food and they'll bring it to you. And I want to say it was California because everything bizarre tends to happen in California. But there was a Mexican restaurant whose tacos were so popular that they wound up having a surge in these deliveries from Bite Squad or whatever it was. And so they raised the price of their delivery tacos to like $12 a taco because they were tired. Like, you are in the business of selling tacos. That's a good thing. Why would you not want this? Yeah. This seems to be the NCAA's version of that here. They've got too many kids requesting the hardship waiver, and so now we're going to really crack down. We're going to make it really difficult for kids to transfer and play immediately. And you're going to have to get a letter. Imagine any athletic director in the country writing a letter that essentially throws their head football coach under the bus for his treatment of that player. Because that's one of the tentacles here in this legislation is that a player, in order to receive the waiver, would have to get a letter from the previous school's athletic director stating whether or not that player was welcome to return to the team or not. Oh, yeah, no, my coach ran this kid off. Told him he wasn't good enough to be on scholarship anymore. Go ahead and give him the waiver. And then on the other end of the other end, you've got, can we look at Grandpa's medical file? How sick is he? And are you involved in caring for him or her? It's not just enough to have a sick relative that you would like to be closer to. But, and I get that in many instances, there were probably examples of this where, I don't want to say the truth got stretched, but maybe somebody's not necessarily on their deathbed and it's a convenient excuse or was a convenient excuse to try to skirt the transfer rules as they were currently written. I understand that. It's always a couple people who, if you take any group of people, there's always going to be a small number who try to figure out how to skirt the rules. But by and large, the majority of kids who are transferring were doing it for, in my opinion, the right reasons. And now you've got the NCAA that says, nah, too much work. This was too popular. Maybe we went a little too far in being pro player. So now we're going to go back to the old school approach of the NCAA, and that's to make life as hard and miserable as possible for the student athletes that organization says that it stands for and goes to bat for on a daily basis.
And they don't. They don't.
And somewhere Kirk Ferentz is still boiled about Drew Ott's sixth year of eligibility. Iowa, by the way, today they held a media, and it wasn't necessarily a media availability. I'm trying to remember what they called it, but they invited members of the media. to a football media academy today in Iowa City. And the caveat here was that if you went, you couldn't really talk. It's like Fight Club. If you went, you couldn't really talk about anything that took place. But the coaches sat down with members of the media. It started at 9 o'clock, went until 1 o'clock today. We would have participated in this had we not had Lunchbox Heroes, which we focus on Wednesdays. But an opportunity for the football coaches to walk members of the media through how the football program approaches recruiting, strength and conditioning. It sounds like it was extremely informative today. And again, hopefully they do it again in the future because I would really like to be a part of that. And then if you say anything, if you break the bonds of silence, then God knows what happens to you.
But don't do it or else.
Don't do it or else. I didn't even ask anybody that went to it. I saw a couple people mention it on Twitter. Didn't even ask them about it because I didn't want to get them in trouble. 6:38, we'll take our final timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on a Wednesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn and tell you how you can join us tomorrow for the show. Back with more after this.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
It's Iowa State Cyclone Night at the Colonels this Friday. The first 1,000 fans receive a free Iowa State rally towel and bid on Iowa State game-worn jerseys. Wear your Cardinal and Gold proudly, Iowa State fans, this Friday at the Colonels. Purchase tickets now at colonels.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
Star Equipment now sells, rents, and repairs heavy-duty forestry equipment. Now carrying durable mulching heads, disc mulchers, and other skid steer attachments by FECON, Diamond, and Bradco. That means your next tough job just became a whole lot easier. Rent or buy your forestry equipment now at Star Equipment. And while you're there, ask about current government grants for mulching equipment. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. You got the time. Perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Stugatz here. We all have home projects we put off for too long. What's stopping you? For lots of people, they worry about overpaying and not getting a fair price. That's where Home Advisor can help. Their true cost guide shows you what others paid for similar projects. Then you can get matched with top-rated pros, read reviews, request quotes, and book appointments all for free. HomeAdvisor makes it easy to get those projects done so you can relax this summer. To find the right pro at a fair price, just ask HomeAdvisor. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC instead of stashing antacids everywhere. Like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens. Or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
At Fidelity, we believe nothing should come between you and your money. So we're introducing zero account fees with zero minimums to open an account. All because we want you to invest with zero trade-offs. Visit fidelity.com/value to learn more. Zero account minimums and zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Expenses charged by investments such as funds and managed accounts and for commissions, interest charges, or other expenses for transactions may still apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Twins and the Rays opening up a brief three-game homestand on just a perfect night for baseball in downtown Minneapolis. Kyle Gibson for the Twins and the reigning Cy Young winner Blake Snell opposing for the Rays, and both pitchers had easy first innings. Gibson had a 1-2-3 second, but the Twins, they roughed up Blake Snell in the second, scoring one run on a two-out RBI single from William Zastadio. That scored Eddie Rosario. It was a 1-0 game early. Twins were far from done as they scored three more times in the third. Jonathan Schoop home run. and back-to-back RBI hits from Rosario and C.J. Crone. Twins looking good early, 4-0. Same score, bottom four, and that's when they chase Snell from the game. Leadoff double, Williams Astudillo. Miguel Sano singled after Scope struck out. A walk to Jorge Polanco, and that's when Mitch Garver pretty much put the game away.
And a pitch, lined to third and by the third baseman. Astudillo's going to score. Sano's being waved around. The throw to the plate, not in time. It'll be a base hit, two RBIs.
Part of a three-hit night for the Twins catcher. His first game starting since Thursday night. Remember, he was dealing with a sore left heel throughout that weekend Royal Series. But Garver, he looked great in game one on Tuesday. Twins had a 7-0 lead. They would score two more times, a Polanco sac fly RBI and a Garver home run en route to a 9-4 game one win. As for the pitching, Kyle Gibson, he went 7, 4 runs. Three of those 4 runs came late. He allowed 7 hits, a walk, and struck out 7. Big night, though, for the offense. 9 runs on 15 hits. Eddie Rosario, he stays hot at a 4-hit game. He doubled. He singled 3 times and drove in 2 runs. Williams Astudillo had a great game himself in right field. He went 3 for 4. He had a double, 2 singles, and RBI. Also made a really good catch in right field as well. One down note from this game, Max Kepler got hit by a pitch on his right elbow in the 5th inning, had to leave the game. It was announced as a contusion, and we'll have more on that for you coming up on Wednesday. But the Twins are now 51-27. Indians lost their game. The Twins now lead the Tribe by 8.5 games atop the American League Central. The final from Tuesday, Twins 9, and the Rays 4 from Target Field. Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to Walmart and get Ageless Male Tonight.
6:44, we welcome you back in as we have officially hit the stretch run of another Todd Brummelkamp show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM, 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Sports Talk Radio. Also with you on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, online at KGYMradio.com. We are in the KGYM studios today. Tomorrow, you can join us at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road as the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com, returns to Mulligan's. We'll do the show from 4 until 7. Happy Hour runs from 3 until 6, and then from 6 until close tomorrow night, it's half-price wings, boneless or bone-in. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, you can use that number to reach out to us. Bob Lee, retiring after 40 years at ESPN. He has been off the airwaves at the network for the better part of the last, has it been a year and a half? He was sort of on sabbatical. There was some question as to whether or not he would return. It was sort of, he was the heavy hitter among the ESPN. He was, you can't really call him a personality because he was more of the straight-laced newsman. But
capital J journalism.
Yeah. Outside the Lines, which is a program that I don't want to speak for him, but I think at 64, he probably looked around the campus at Bristol and yeah, some of the stuff that ESPN was putting on the airwaves and prioritizing, and compared that to his own work on Outside the Lines and said, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore.
It's sad.
Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman and First Take and these programs are what people are looking for. And, I mean, they buried Outside the Lines in the afternoon. You know, Outside the Lines is a quality program.
It is, and that's the scary thing. I think I thought the exact same thing. Somebody like Bob Lee, who, yeah, they've had their niche, but aren't being prioritized in the way that some of these other shows that can routinely get things wrong and stir the pot just for the sake of stirring the pot, where Bob Lee and his crew at Outside the Lines really dug deep and uncovered things and did outstanding reporting for years and years and years and didn't get that same type of respect back. But at the same time, it's sort of scary that to see guys like Bob Lee going away, because who replaces somebody like that?
Stephen A. Smith.
Does something like this even stay on?
They'll have Stephen A. doing investigative reporting on OTL. People have said that Bob Lee was with ESPN from day one. That's not quite accurate. According to the ESPN story, his first day on ESPN as SportsCenter anchor was September 9th, 1979, the third day of the network's existence. So don't say Bob Lee was there from day one. He was there from day three.
Doesn't have the same ring to it. No, he's there from day one. That sounds better. Day three.
I don't know. You know, that's talk about big shoes to fill. He certainly leaves them at ESPN. 319-366-1600. Vanderbilt, by the way, has tied things up at the College World Series. So it's now 1-1. Is that the second, or have they moved to the third inning? They're in between innings right now. Our poll question today, KGYMRadio.com, which team wins the College World Series tonight? Michigan, a victory for the Wolverines would mean a great deal, not only for the Big Ten, but Northern baseball in general. You're probably tired of hearing me say that over the last couple days, but it's the truth. It's been since 1966 when Ohio State won at the College World Series. This is a sport that is dominated, absolutely dominated by Southern schools, to the point where a Coastal Carolina can win the College World Series a couple years ago. And yeah, it's an upset, but Michigan winning tonight would be a much bigger upset than Coastal Carolina, a school that most people probably couldn't locate, couldn't tell you where Coastal Carolina was, because of their location, they have an advantage in roster construction.
No question. I think that people don't cover or follow college baseball don't realize how good some of those small schools are on the coast, on the East and West Coast, especially up and down the West Coast, really, and then the Mid-Atlantic South on the East Coast. Coastal Carolina is definitely in there, but on the West Coast, people know about Cal State Fullerton, but UCSB, Long Beach State, those types of programs. Cal Poly, another really, really good program. Those are baseball schools, almost. Those are strictly 100% baseball-run schools. And I think the Big Ten right now is sort of in that spot like the AAC in football, where they're trying to build up their facilities. They're trying to kind of crash the power conference and power team dynamic in baseball. And they're close, but they're still getting good coaches and then losing good coaches at a rapid rate. And like you said, if Michigan is able to keep their coach around, that could sort of change that dynamic.
6:51, we will close the books on a Wednesday edition of the program. Again, if you were not with us earlier today, it was a Lunchbox Heroes Day. We were at the Kingston Quarters condo project on 2nd Avenue Southwest earlier today, feeding about 45 to 50 hungry construction workers. A big thank you to Built by Pros, our presenting sponsor, as we every Wednesday over the course of the summer say thank you to the folks who work in the construction and building trades industry for helping to make the corridor such a great place to live and work. You can learn more about Lunchbox Heroes and all of our sponsors, including Chick-fil-A Lindale, by visiting KGYMRadio.com. Tomorrow, we will attempt to touch base with former Kirkwood shortstop and current member of the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, Corey Howell. Also, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com will be with us as he recaps his piece on the NCAA backtracking as far as making things easier for players to transfer. All of that plus Woodja and more as we come to you from Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Happy hour starts at 3. Our show starts at 4. Half price wings kick in at 6. And your chance to win some great prizes from us here at KGYM. Final minute of the program tonight. You think it's basically a new ball game right now in Omaha?
I'm still going with Vanderbilt, but I am going to be pulling hard for Michigan.
Mason Hickman on the mound for the Commodores. The smart money would be to say Vanderbilt wins this game tonight, but my heart is telling me you have to pull for the Big Ten team here, the quintessential underdog, and we'll find out whether or not they can break the conference's extremely long drought at the College World Series. 1966, the last time that a Big Ten team took home a College World Series championship. If you missed anything from today's program, the podcast will be available shortly at kgymradio.com. A reminder, local programming picks up again tomorrow. It's the return of Scott Unash from vacation. The Gym Class, brought to you by Third Base Brewery, hits the airwaves tomorrow on all three frequencies beginning at 3 o'clock.